Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Steve Futterman, live in Los Angeles.
Whatever it takes to get a good contract is what we intend to do for as long as it takes.
Hollywood on strike. The Writers Guild of America announcing this afternoon that its members will walk off the job at 12:01 a.m. Monday morning. Patrick Verone, the head of the WGA West, made the announcement.
The companies have refused to agree that writers must receive fair compensation when their work is broadcast on the Internet or downloaded on iPods or cell phones.
The key dispute centers on how to share profits from so-called new media, which also includes DVDs. The motion picture and TV producers have issued their own statement today, accusing the writers of falsehoods and misstatements. I'm Steve Futterman, live in Los Angeles. Now with more CBS News, here's Jim Taylor.
Michael Mukasey will be the next Attorney General of the United States. Despite some reservations, Senators Schumer and Feinstein say they will provide the necessary votes to approve his nomination, even if Senator Patrick Leahy will not.
No American should hide behind saying they need a classified briefing to know whether waterboarding was torture.
It is unlikely she'll ever fly another space shuttle mission since she's no longer an astronaut, but it also appears unlikely that Lisa Nowak will be going to trial in connection with her well-publicized antics. CBS News chief legal analyst Andrew Cohen reacting to a judge's ruling today, tossing out her statement to police and physical evidence they collected.
This is a huge legal victory for Nowak. It essentially guts the prosecution's case, and you can fairly say that unless the DA is able to get that physical evidence and her statement back before the jury, we likely will never see a trial here.
When you take a red-eye flight, not unusual to take a nap, right? You don't want everyone on the plane going to sleep, though.
According to NASA's Aviation Safety Reporting System, two airline pilots, perhaps working for Frontier Airlines, fell asleep on a flight from Baltimore to Denver in 2004 and were awakened only after what are described as frantic calls from air traffic controllers. The reporting system allowed crew members to report such incidents anonymously. But Frontier spokesman Joe Hoda says one incident doesn't tell the whole story.
If you also look at the number of aircraft incidents over the past 10 years, that number has declined significantly due to a lot of the improvements that the airlines have put in place.
But the airline says pilot fatigue is a bigger problem than most people realize. Sam Litzinger, CBS News.
The man behind Our Legs Fit Your Legs, 7-Up, the Uncola, and even this iconic commercial jingle.
Alka-Seltzer, plop, plop, fizz, fizz. Oh, what a relief it is.
Thomas Dawes, dead at 64. He was also a founding member of the 60s band Circle. You remember Red Rubber Ball. How high can it go? Oil with a record high finish today, $95.93, and some analysts are saying it'll keep climbing all the way to $125 a barrel. Wall Street pretty wild today, up and down, all around. The Dow finally ending up 27 points. NASDAQ finishes up 15. The S&P 500 up almost a couple. This is CBS News.
Nice shot! Time out!
Basketball's fun, but I need a cold drink.
My mom's making rich chocolate Ovaltine.
Ovaltine?
Let's go!
I guess the kids will be home soon.
Let's make rich chocolate Ovaltine.
Come on! Sarah's mom's making
rich chocolate Ovaltine.
All right!
My kids love Ovaltine's rich chocolate taste.
And I love all those vitamins and minerals that you won't find in Nesquik powder.
Mom, we're back!
Who wants Ovaltine?
We do!
We better make more.
More Ovaltine, please!
Reason number 22 to switch to Geico. We think renters are cool. Now, we don't know if you were born cool, or if it's just all the cool stuff you have in your apartment. The point is, if you want to protect your considerable coolness, ask Geico about renter's insurance. For as little as $12 a month, you can protect all the stuff you hold near and dear, including that combination flat-screen TV espresso machine. Now that is cool.
For a fast, easy rate quote on renter's insurance, visit geico.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO.
Arizona nuclear power plant on lockdown today after a contract worker found to have an explosive device in the back of his truck. That worker detained. Sheriff's officials say they've made the device safe. Palo Verde is the nation's largest nuclear power plant. Power never stopped flowing today. And the Department of Homeland Security says there's no known terrorism link. We do know just about everything else about her. You want to know how much Britney spends every month?
$49,000 a month on two mortgages, $16,000 for clothes, $102,000 on entertainment, gifts, and vacations. And while Spears has been caught plenty of times on drive-through cameras at fast food places, the singer says she spends $4,700 a month on dining out, spends nothing on education, savings, or investments, and gives $500 a month to charity. At $35,000 a month to her ex, KFED, for child and spousal support. Steve Kathan, CBS News.
I'm Jim Taylor, CBS News.
Another good thing about GEICO is they've got, like, real live people working there 24/7. So, like, say you need to report a claim, right? A real person will be there to help you. Then you can use GEICO.com to view photos of the damage, track your claim, print an estimate. You want an English muffin? They literally hand you a toasted muffin with butter and jam. Oh, tasty. That's a complete dramatisation, of course, but you get my point.
GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
This was a famous ship.
Ink.
No, it hit an iceberg.
Ink.
About 100 years ago, it sank.
Ink.
There's a movie and a song about it.
It's ink.
No! Stop guessing ink. Next one. This is the liquid people use to write or print with.
I got it. Toner.
Ugh!
You don't think about ink until it's all you can think about. Good thing Office Max has a huge selection of name brands. Save up to 15% when you buy one HP multipack compared to two single cartridges. Office Max. All the ink you need. All in one place.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
Wow. The only place I'd rather be today is sailing on San Francisco Bay. It's about 80 degrees here, and the bay is the color of Superman's hair in the cartoons.
We got a lot to talk about and some great people to talk with today. Investigative journalist Robert Parry will kick off the show in a moment. We're going to talk about Valerie Plame and her new book. Writer Jim Gerard caught my attention when I read his book on a plane ride a couple of months ago. It's called Beam Me Up, Jesus, subtitled A Heathen's Guide to the Rapture. And if you're on the outside of the end times and Tim LaHaye's 80 million units sold, it's perfect for you. If you're on the inside of Tim LaHaye's world, I hope you'll listen and call in. We do take requests on this program, and a couple of weeks back, a listener called from Salinas, identified herself as a relative of Katha Pollitt, who is a columnist for The Nation magazine. Katha will be on the show today. Her new book is called Learning to Drive. And it's a memoir about recent episodes in her life. We'll also talk about her recent column on abortion and contraception, and one that she wrote a while back saying, Cindy Sheehan, don't run against Nancy Pelosi. Also on today's program, we'll have a free speech zone in the second hour to talk about the plans that Dennis Kucinich has outlined to bring to the floor and force a vote his resolution 333, H.R. 333, on impeachment of one Richard B. Cheney. That's what we'll talk about at that point. And then Brad Friedman will join us as usual from bradblog.com. Lots to talk about. There's some folks in Monterey who are a little PO'd at Brad about some comments he made last week regarding hand-counted paper ballots and scanners. We'll open up the lines to talk about that. Brad's going to update us on John Tanner's testimony before a congressional committee this week. And also Brad's exclusive that Sybelle Edmonds is ready to talk. Despite the gag order imposed on her, she is willing to spurn that, face whatever music might occur, and her terms are simple. She wants a major television network to sit her down for an interview and run the whole thing without editing. And if they'll agree to those rules, she will spill. That's what she says. We'll also talk about a new piece of legislation about election reform that would ban touchscreen electronic voting machines, and also the position of Attorney General candidate Michael Mukasey on the voter ID issue. That's all ahead here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Join us at any moment with your questions or comments. Toll free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. As usual, you can email me, Peter, at peterbcollins.com. Robert Perry is the investigative journalist who helped us all learn about the Iran-Contra scandal in the 80s, worked for Newsweek, the AP, and also for Frontline at PBS. He's now independent and runs the free website consortiumnews.com, and his new book out is called Neck Deep, which he co-authored with two of his sons. Bob Perry, welcome to our program.
Well, thanks, Peter. Thanks for having me.
And this is going to be a regular thing, depending on your schedule and availability. We're going to try to have you on every week because you break a lot of news there at Consortium News and bring us a lot of good analysis as well.
I hope so, Peter. It sounds great.
Yeah. And it was great to meet you and your wife, Diane, last weekend when you came out for the Project Censored conference.
It is a beautiful part of the country. We enjoyed both being around in the San Francisco Bay Area and up in Sonoma. It was really great.
Yeah. Well, and I enjoyed your presentation at the panel last weekend. So I have not had a chance to read Valerie Plame's new book called Fair Game, but I've seen many interviews with her. She survived Jon Stewart. I don't know if you caught The Daily Show.
But, I didn't see it.
Well, she held up and kept her spy's game face on when he asked her some fairly personal questions about, for example, whether her breasts were still undercover. But she's clearly a very smart and capable woman who happens to be in a beautiful package. And it's just interesting to see reaction to the rather strong remarks that she's made in the interviews, starting with 60 Minutes last week. And you wrote a piece saying it's time to apologize to Valerie Plame Wilson. That's a novel concept, Bob.
Well, certainly in Washington it seems to be. But the point of the piece is that we now know, we sort of knew before, but we now know even with more detail, that many of the claims being made by the White House, by their right-wing allies, and also by some of the mainstream press, particularly the Washington Post editorial page, just simply were wrong. There was this claim that went out for quite a while that she was not really a covert CIA officer, that therefore she wasn't really covered by the Agents Identities Protection Act, that therefore there was no underlying crime in disclosing her identity. But it's now clear that all those claims were wrong, that she was a covert officer, that she had served abroad, which is the term that's required in the law, within the last 5 years, and that therefore there was an underlying crime committed, and that the people that had tried to use those arguments as an excuse to continue to attack her and her husband and to minimize what the White House did were just wrong. And if there were decency in Washington, they'd apologize for it.
Well, and when you see what we can prove, it leads us to question things that we can't quite prove because, for example, Vice President Cheney hasn't been forthcoming. He didn't testify at the Libby trial as they promised us he would. And they promised Judge Walton that, well, not quite promised, but they said he was going to testify and made the court go through a lot of hoops in preparation for that and then didn't call him. And, you know, I firmly believe that this came out of the work of the White House Iraq group. And I believe that there was a conspiracy. You know, that term can be very loaded, but a conspiracy is when one or more people agree to do something in violation of the law. And we know that that Libby coordinated his work with Dick Cheney. We can suspect that Ari Fleischer, Karl Rove, and Richard Armitage were coordinated in their leaks of her identity and the information that was supposed to slap back Joe Wilson. And so I don't think that an apology is anything that is beyond possible or desirable here. But I would actually like to see the president honor his word to really, you know, get to the bottom of what happened and sanction those or fire people who were involved with it.
Well, the problem was, and the reason I think the indictment stopped where at Libya on issues of perjury and obstruction of justice, the real problem was that the President of the United States himself was involved in what was clearly a crime, as was the Vice President, and as were many of their subordinates. This was an organized effort. It was a conspiracy, as you say. We don't know all the details still about who gave which orders to whom, but we know a lot of that. We know that the Vice President was furious when Joe Wilson came out and criticized the abuse of intelligence to stampede the U.S. people into a war in Iraq, and that he set out with his minions, particularly Louis Libby, who was his then chief of staff, to essentially get Wilson. And the theme that Cheney himself laid out was to point out that this trip that Wilson took to investigate the alleged Iraqi interest in getting yellowcake uranium from Niger, the trip was supposedly arranged by Wilson's wife, Valerie Plame, and that required exposing Plame's identity as a CIA officer. So we know a lot of that. There are still some details we don't know that should have come out and haven't come out yet. Things like whether Dick Armitage at the State Department was working hand in glove with his friend Karl Rove in the White House, or if he was more off on his own. So there are details that would still be useful to have. But the main problem with getting it to the bottom of this, and whether as a legal matter or as a political one, is that behind all of this was George W. Bush. He was the one who essentially was allowed this to go forward. His people, including Karl Rove, were involved. So we'd end up having to try to charge. I think this is the problem that Special Prosecutor Fitzgerald faced. He'd have to really charge the president and vice president with committing a crime that involved disclosing classified material, i.e. Plame's identity.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a dicey matter under the Constitution, since many people argue that the president has ultimate authority over classified material. And though no one envisioned this kind of a declassification by the president, it does raise difficult, thorny constitutional issues. So basically, the story was never fully told.
And, Bob, there's one more in there. We have heard, and it's all secondhand, that there's a secret executive order that authorized Dick Cheney to essentially have the same power as the president to unilaterally declassify information. And if that's true, that may have been another reason why Fitzgerald didn't go further, at least in the direction of Dick Cheney.
That's right. There is this, I think it is pretty well confirmed that the president did delegate declassification authority to the vice president. And so that makes it extremely hard for a prosecutor to move forward. Now, Fitzgerald has never really explained his thinking. He's operated sort of under the old-fashioned rules of grand jury secrecy. There had been a period after Watergate and until Ken Starr when we had this idea of a special prosecutor who could then report to the American people on matters like this. He could he'd issue a report and say, here's why I prosecuted, here's why I didn't prosecute. But that has gone the way of some legislation that wasn't entirely well formed, and that has led the American people not to be told what Fitzgerald's thinking was, what he saw, what was the full scope of this picture. So in other words, we ended up with a situation where many on the right and many in the mainstream press, like I said, the editors of the Washington Post were among the worst abusers of the Wilson-Plame family in insulting and attacking Joe Wilson, even as the facts became known, even as some of the facts were reported on the front page of the Washington Post by their own reporters. The Washington Post editors would continue to print these White House talking points that slammed Joe Wilson, that accepted the White House version of reality, which we now know to be false.
Bob, let's lead the charge here. I have the official Peter B. Collins Apologia Chorus here, and we will offer this to Valerie Plame Wilson today.
Excuse me.
We'll continue with Robert Perry in just a moment. Visit his website, consortiumnews.com. There's information there on how you can pick up the new book called Neck Deep. If you have a question or comment, we'll take it. Toll free at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. It's 19 after the hour. This is the Peter B. Collins Show.
KRXA 540. Visit our website at krxa540.com.
Are you looking for that new dream home at a price that's not a dream? At Pacific Pride Homes, we really do take pride in the small number of custom homes we build every year, and the fact that we can offer estate-quality homes without the estate price. We are now providing special financing and pricing on two of our beautiful new custom homes located in gated communities in North Monterey County. We invite you to visit us at PacificPrideHomes.com for details and directions.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Let me welcome you to Planet Cruise.
It's an all-new Planet Cruise Comedy Hour hosted by me, Richard Stockton, Friday, November 2nd.
The sexual harassment therapy was useless. I already know how to do it.
Tonight Show comedians Mark Pittock.
What did I say?
And Karen Babbitt.
Ah, but she was good.
It's a Santa Cruz-style prairie home companion with the Raging Granny.
Raging Grannies.
Ukulele Dick.
Not Ukulele Dick.
The Great Morgani. Blues Great Al Frisbee, Dr. Bruce Lipton, Dr. Rupert Opie, belly dancer Tamron Nelson, all the outpatient players.
They let the players out!
And the Planetoid Band, all comedically capturing the spirit of Santa Cruz. Friday, November 2nd at the Columba Jazz Center. And this is an all-new show, so get your tickets early.
Ooh, save $5!
At Streetlight Records and Gateway's Books. Friday, November 2nd at the Columba, the Planet Cruz Comedy
Planet
Hour.
Cruise.
You're gonna laugh your glutes off.
Pam and Nancy from the Potting Shed in Aptos on the Christmas season.
We have the tree, we have refreshments. It's turned out to be a really big season for us.
Someone was in the other day who was telling their companion who had been there for the first time that, oh, and they also do Christmas, and you should see it with all the lights. It's just beautiful. So.
It's one of the prettiest times of the year.
Yeah. Christmas is fun. I mean, we start the kickoff with the, for the season, the first weekend in November with an open house, and we have homemade refreshments. In December, we have a live green wreath workshop where people can come and make their own green wreaths.
Call us at 685-1626, and we keep lists of anyone who's interested in the classes and schedule them accordingly. We're located at 5752 Freedom Boulevard in Aptos.
About 2 miles east of Highway 1 heading towards Watsonville. You have to look for us. We're in an old barn. If you look for our mailbox, it's painted bright yellow and it's shaped like an old barn, so it makes it a little bit easier to find. The Potting Shed.
Gifts for gardeners and everyone. We're hard to find, but it's worth it.
Jim's Restaurant and Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is locally owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, authentic, inexpensive Chinese food prepared to order every day. Jim's Restaurant is celebrating its 8th anniversary at 1584 Del Monte in Seaside. Join the party. Enjoy Jim's lunch specials for just $5.75 and dinner specials for only $6.50 per person. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117. Don't forget, Jim's is tops for takeout and catering, too. Call Jim's Restaurant and Seaside at 394-5117.
Sorry, my computer mouse has a mind of its own. I'm Peter B. Collins, 23 minutes after the hour, as we continue with independent journalist, investigative reporter Robert Parry. His website with fresh news almost every day is consortiumnews.com. And the new book is called Neck Deep, subtitled The Disastrous Presidency of George W. Bush. And remind me, Bob, you log on to neckdeepbook.com. Is that right?
Right, if you want to get it directly from the publisher. And if you do, then $5 of each purchase goes to help keep our website going.
Yeah, it's a great book, a lot of good information. Now, Bob, I was thinking during the break, going back to Iran-Contra, remember when Ollie North was testifying about what he called a neat idea to basically fleece the Iranians on used parts and then divert that profit to the Contras in Central America? Well, I think they must have had a moment like that in the White House where they said, we've got this neat idea. We're going to leak Valerie Plame's identity to push back against her husband, Joe Wilson. And then we're going to blame it on reporters like Bob Novak and Matt Cooper and Judith Miller. And that'll tie it up so they'll never really find out who actually leaked it. Do you think something like that occurred?
Oh, yes, I think something like that occurred. I think the basically the idea was to put this out to damage Wilson, humiliate him, basically present him as kind of a guy who can't get a job and needs his wife's help, even though none of that was true. And actually the assignment he took was pro bono. He wasn't even paid for to go to Niger, which is not exactly a garden spot.
Yeah, there's no Club Med there.
No, but then I think that what the president did, and this is the most interesting part, I think, about his role, is that at the end of September of 2003, as this was beginning to unfold, as the CIA was demanding an investigation of the leak, Bush pretended like he wanted to know everything.
Yeah.
He said, I want anyone who knows anything to come forward. Well, let's get this all out. But what that message was actually something quite different. He was effectively signaling to his subordinates that since they knew that he knew that the White House was involved in this, since his top aide Karl Rove was handling some of this.
It was code. It was code for bring in the shredders.
Well, the code was to lie and cover up,
yeah.
And that's exactly what happened. Right after Bush's comment, that's when Rove and others went to the White House press office and said, "Say we weren't involved." And then Libby got mad and said, "They said Rove wasn't involved and Elliot Abrams wasn't involved, but they didn't mention me. I'm being hung out to dry." He went to Cheney, and Cheney demanded that Libby, his subordinate, also be put on the list of not being involved. And I think the White House felt there was no way, especially then under Attorney General Ashcroft, that the investigation was going to ever get through their first line of defense.
Mm-hmm.
And it was only because Ashcroft accused himself and James Comey, the Deputy Attorney General, stepped in and appointed a more independent U.S. Attorney, Patrick Fitzgerald, that the case even got as far as it got. I think Bush was hoping and expecting
mm-hmm.
that it would be killed right then and there.
Now, Bob, let's talk about the true cost of this, this outing of Valerie Plame Wilson, because the Bush administration has maintained that its number one priority, above all others, is to stop rogue nations from getting or using nuclear weapons. So we made up the stories about Iraq and went in there. We've battled North Korea, we've given Pakistan a pass, and we're now making Iran a target. The very focus of her work was to do counter-proliferation. So what does that mean? She was trying to stop people from either getting or delivering nuclear weapons or technology to others. And this was, of course, the most important task. And they threw that to the wind and blew her work and the cover company she was working for a silly political payback.
Right. And what comes out in Valerie Plame's book, Fair Game, is that she was undertaking these missions certainly as late as 2002. So that was she went through the Middle East and was using her contacts to try to obtain information about what Iraq was up to, and some people have said Iran as well, in terms of their obtaining weapons of mass destruction. And she was doing it right almost up to the time of the invasion of Iraq. So she would have been covered, therefore, by the five-year provision of the law, which says if you have served overseas within the past 5 years, your identity cannot be disclosed without committing a felony. So she was covered, but also more, as you say, the broader issue is that her network, people who were living in those countries and collaborating with the United States, they were put in jeopardy too. So the White House not only blew the operation, it not only destroyed Valerie Plame's career, but they put in jeopardy the lives of people who were cooperating with the United States.
Got to stop, Bob. Our time is up. Read all about it at consortiumnews.com. Robert Perry, thanks.
Thank you.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood File, sponsored in part by the best for you, best balanced, and best tasting Smart Balance buttery spread. I'm Charles Osgood. You can argue about whether there are enough soldiers to do the fighting in Iraq and Afghanistan, but there's no question that there aren't enough to do all the rebuilding work that the Defense Department is now responsible for. For that, they hire contractors. And to hire and supervise the contractors, They hire other contractors. And it's gotten out of hand, according to Jacques Gansler, the chairman of a commission that has studied the problem.
It usually takes a crisis to make change. We have a crisis.
Nothing could be finer than a crisis that is minor in the morning, I always say. The story after this for Smart Balance. I love its buttery taste and the kind of nutrition it stands for. It's naturally trans fat-free, has no hydrogenated oils, and it's an excellent source of ALA omega-3s. And Smart Balance's taste is so great that it won the Chef's Best Award for Best Taste, awarded to the brand rated higher overall among leading vegetable oil spreads by independent professional chefs. So if you're looking for great buttery taste and a spread that you'll feel good about, try Smart Balance.
Die Hard presents Under the Hood with Positive and Negative.
Hey, Negative, you see what Bob just installed in the back seat for the kids?
Muzzles, I hope.
No, DVD monitors. Isn't that cool?
Great. First the GPS, now DVD players and monitors. It's a lot of juice for us to pump out.
What, can't handle it?
Look, if Bob wants to install a chandelier for a dome light, I can handle it.
For reliable starting power when you need it most, choose Die Hard Automotive Batteries. Get yours installed at Sears Auto Centers. For locations near you, visit Sears.com.
The panel that's been studying supervision of the U.S. Army's contracting policies in Iraq and Afghanistan reports that the logistical demands in those places have been overwhelming. We've got too many Indians and not enough chiefs supervising them. CBS News correspondent David Martin.
The value of contracts awarded tripled to well over $100 billion, but the number of people managing those contracts stayed the same. There are currently 160,000 contractors working for the U.S. in the war zone, but only 75 contract managers, and most of them are not trained.
That's right, says the commission chairman, former Undersecretary of Defense Jacques Gansler.
They're not trained to do it, they're not used to doing it, and it's a little bit hard when someone hands them a bag of money and says, you know, manage this.
Human nature being what it is, says Danielle Bryan, executive director of the Project on Government Oversight.
We're counting on contractors to oversee other contractors, and it's just totally unacceptable.
Defense Secretary Robert Gates gets the message.
Clearly, one of the lessons that I took away from the report is the need for all of the services, but especially the Army, to focus on rebuilding contracting as an attractive career path.
The Osgood File. Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
Hey, this is Larry from Acme Coffee, and if, like me, you own a business and are tired of waiting through aggressive sales reps pushing you to advertise on mediocre network TV stations or stale radio broadcasters, contact KRXA 540 sales manager Larry Rathall at 394-5792. AM 540's committed listener base will help you grow your business. I know, because they're helping me grow mine. Call Larry at 394-KRXA.
Rock Rollin' Real Estate, your number one source for all your real estate needs. This week on the show, meet Jim Ross, president of National Real Estate Academy. Jim has an incredible opportunity going on right now with an elegant high-rise condo in downtown Chicago. If you're looking to build wealth, listen this Sunday at 10 a.m. Rock Rollin' Real Estate. For more information, call 408-892-3376 or check us out online at rockrollinrealestate.com. Rock Rollin' Real Estate, Sunday mornings at 10, right here on KRXA 540.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. Coming up next hour, writer Katha Pollitt from The Nation will join us. Ah, but first, a powerful new book that will make you laugh and make you cry, On Your Way to Hell.
God had a name. What would it be, and would you call it to his face if you were faced with him in all his glory? What would you ask if you had just one question?
I would ask him, have you read Beam Me Up, Jesus?
Yeah, God is great. Yeah, God is good.
Gerard, according to his bio, is an author, journalist, playwright, and stand-up comic. He has written humor for many magazines. His new book, as I mentioned, is called Beam Me Up, Jesus, subtitled A Heathen's Guide to the Rapture. Jim, welcome to our program today.
Well, thanks for having me.
I just have to confess to you that I took your book on an airplane ride, and it caused a lot of problems because I kept cracking up, and people around me wanted to know what I was reading. And I was a little concerned about sharing with them, it's this really funny book about how ridiculous Bible thumpers are.
Yeah, you have to be careful on there.
Now, have you had any experiences with people who took exception to your sense of humor and your choice of subject matter here?
Not directly, no. I think I did one interview, a radio interview, where the host was more concerned with my atheism, mm-hmm. that I didn't believe in a God, and actually in the way that I attack a certain doctrine of one of the sects of Christianity.
They didn't try to perfect you, did they?
No. Nobody's. I live in New York City, so we're all doomed here already, and we know it.
Have you done any shows opposite Ann Coulter? That would be a real thrill.
Yeah, no, I'm trying to get my people to get me on O'Reilly's show or opposite somebody like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll just tell you, based on my experience, you might try some new people, because I started asking for an interview with you in mid-August.
Really?
we finally connected today.
Okay, we'll have to make a note of that to my publicist.
Yeah, have your people talk to your people.
That's surprising. Okay, sorry about that.
Jim, tell me what motivated you to write this book.
Well, the rapture is a magical belief that believe 100 million Americans subscribe to. And I just thought that was a great equation for comedy. I mean, it's such an absurd scenario, and mm-hmm. and yet it is ascribed to by up to one third of the American people. So, it's comedy. A lot of comedy is just dispelling myths and unraveling the logic of beliefs.
Yeah. Well, I was really impressed with the different angles that you took and the different ways that you got me to laugh about the rapture, Armageddon, the end times, all this stuff. And one of the things in here is the Rapture IQ, where you have multiple choice questions. And I want to open up the phone lines here, right now, and anybody can call and take the Rapture IQ. And what have I got for a prize? The first person who plays will give you a Roy Zimmerman CD. Faulty Intelligence, all those great spoof songs that we play here on the program. So if you'd like to take the Rapture IQ test, give us a call right now at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And if you don't have a sense of humor, don't call, okay? It's just not worth it. And while we're waiting for some hapless contestants here, Jim Gerard, let me jump to Chapter 6, where you talk about televangelists and other public figures who believe they will be raptured, but who most definitely won't be. Now, yes. While the chapter title there does have mission creep or text creep, we'll take it. And let's just start off with Jerry Falwell. You say that he believes that he's entitled to an express ride to heaven on Judgment Day. And why do you think he won't make the cut?
Many reasons. He doesn't have anything to do with Jesus' teachings. He was charged by the Securities and Exchange Commission with fraud. He's made absurd allegations against President Clinton. He blamed the 9/11 attacks on feminist gays in the ACLU.
All right, I remember that.
Yeah, he's gone now, but he's kind of.
Well, and you said that his odds of being raptured 600-1. Only chance,
yes.
Bribe the guy holding the rapture switch.
Yeah, right.
Act of desperation, accused Jesus of being gay. All right, what about Jim Baker, who's no longer married to Tammy Faye, but she's still crying? Do they have a shot?
Yeah. No. 1,000-1.
Yeah.
Yeah. The only chance Baker has is if God feels that he's already suffered enough by being married to Tammy Faye all those years.
Okay.
And, that is, the God is humane that way.
Yeah. All right, James Dobson, founder of Focus on the Family, the most virulent radio programs in the nation.
Yeah, threatening to take the Christian base out of the Republican Party, too, mm-hmm. or something recently.
And where will he take them? Where is the promised land?
That's a good question. Mm-hmm. That's a cliff, undoubtedly. Maybe we should get them their own state, They can their own country,
mm-hmm.
as long as it's far away from New York City. But he has very little chance of getting raptured. It's 800-1, I put it. I set the odds.
Okay.
And the only chance he has is if he gets mistakenly swept up in a rapture dragnet.
Mm-hmm. Now, it appears there is an oversight in the book because you don't include Fred Phelps.
Fred Phelps.
Yeah, you don't know who Phelps is? He's the guy from Topeka, Kansas, who sends his minions to protest at the funerals of those who lost their lives in Iraq.
Oh, no. Well,
he's the one who runs the website GodHatesFags.com.
I've heard of the website, yeah. Mm-hmm. Is he a fundamentalist minister?
Oh, yeah, he's way off the charts, fundamentally speaking.
Does he command some megachurch?
No, he has 60 members in his congregation.
Oh, well, that's probably why I didn't include him, because he was below the radar.
Yeah, he's a micro, not a mega. He's a micro.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, he's the one who just lost a court case for almost $11 million in Baltimore for these protests at funerals. And there's some free speech issues in there that get in the way, but in general, I'm happy to see him slap back a little bit.
Yeah, I would say so. And so is my neighborhood of Chelsea in New York City.
Yeah.
Gay enclave, I'm sure. I'm very happy to hear that.
We're talking with Jim Girard here on the Peter B. Collins Show. His new book is called Beam Me Up, Jesus, A Heathen's Guide to the Rapture. Jim, you get to pick our first contestant here for the Rapture IQ. We have Steve in Watsonville, Jack in Eureka, Scott in Carmel, or Justin in Arcata.
Justin.
All right, Justin. Very good. Justin, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show, and say hello to Jim Girard.
Hello, Jim.
Hi, Justin. How are you?
Good.
Okay, let's give you, I just picked this willy-nilly here, number four. The tribulation refers to A, a 7-year period of time that roughly coincides with the rapture in which believers will experience worldwide persecution, B, the eternal damnation of sinners, C, a Christian thrash metal band, or D, being locked in a closet for 24 hours with Dick Vitale.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised if it was C, the Christian rock band, but I'm going to say it's A.
All right. Jim, what's the correct answer here?
Well, the correct answers are A, the 7-year period of time that coincides with the rapture.
Right.
And Christian thrash metal band, C, and D also, because I can't imagine worse stuff than being locked in a closet with Dick Vitale. So I guess he just wins the CD.
Uh-huh.
Excellent.
Okay, well, you are a winner, Justin. You get a copy of Roy Zimmerman's Faulty Intelligence. And who's at the door here? Are you a missionary?
No, absolutely not. Like
he's not a missionary. There are two guys here in shirts and ties. You're certainly not. You're not Jehovah's Witnesses.
Absolutely not.
No, what are you selling?
We're actually doing some work with Chardonnay Golf Club.
Chardonnay Golf Club. Okay, that's a religion I don't belong to. Thanks a lot. Lock the door on your way out there, will you? We just had people drop in here unannounced. Justin, we're all set with you. Give Brian your mailing address, and we're going to send you a CD, okay?
Will do. Thanks a lot, Peter.
All right. Great to have you listening. Thanks for calling. And let's see. We have Scott in Carmel. Hello, Scott. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi. How are you?
Doing fine. Would you like to take the Rapture IQ?
Definitely.
Okay. The actual title of the biblical book prophesying the rapture is A, the book of Revelations, B, the revelation of Jesus Christ unto his servant John, C, Jesus is back and this time it's personal, or D, Jesus, the farewell tour.
it's A, I believe.
All right. Jim, is he correct?
No, sorry. It's actually B. But that was that's a real stickler question for only the theologically savvy.
So well, am I left behind? Sweet. If you have to ask, you are. Right on. I got friends back here.
Scott, you've been voted off the island. Thanks anyway.
You're welcome.
Buy the book and try it again.
Right. Oh. That's a good idea. Yeah. Jack in Eureka, welcome.
Good afternoon.
How are you doing today?
Very well, thank you.
Here's your question. Who will be revealed as the Antichrist? A, Tom Cruise. B, Osama bin Laden. C, Simon Cowell. Or D, O.J.?
You know, I've never read that particular book of the Bible, but I don't think any of them are in there. So I'm going to go with E, none of the above.
I would go with the jump in the couch, which I consider to be an offense punishable by a lifetime in hell. So I'll go with Tom Cruise. What's the right answer here, Jim?
Well, the right answer is C, Simon Cowell. And his first words as Antichrist will be, "You're the worst humans I've ever seen." He's going to be a very stern deity, or anti-deity.
Jack, what are you doing to prepare for the end times?
You know, I seem to recall it says we don't know when it'll happen, so I'm just trying to keep out of trouble every day.
All right.
Have a good day, though.
Okay.
Appreciate it.
You bet. Thanks a
Bye-bye.
Lot. Now to Steve in Watsonville. Hi, Steve. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show with writer Jim Gerard.
Yeah, I try to prepare for the end times by consuming about a pint of B&B a day and a six of Guinness.
You know, now that you've revealed
God
that.
Knows that.
It explains everything, Steve.
Thank you. Not my question. Content.
Okay, Steve, when the rapture occurs, what will the government do? A, pass a bill making the rapture illegal. B, levy a rapture tax on all assets left behind. C, launch a massive PR campaign denying that the rapture is taking place. Or D, let Michael Brown handle it.
I think we have an all of the above option on this one.
We don't.
Well, I'm going to take it anyway. Okay, I'll take B, C, and D then.
All right, Jim, what's our correct answer here?
Well, the answer is C. Because according to some rapturologists, the one-world government will try to reassure the public that, you know, all these signs of the rapture, like the asteroid striking the Earth and the plague, the flying serpents, and the levitation of millions of Christians into the heavens, are nothing to worry about.
Oh, they're going to levitate on the asteroids, I'll bet.
Well, then, in that case, why are they making so much fun of Dennis Kucinich for having Shirley MacLaine report that he saw a UFO? It brings him closer to the end.
The aliens are pagans. They're not. They're the wrong kind of pagans.
Run Area 51, I think.
Yeah, exactly. And there might be some crossover between the born-agains and the Area 51ers.
Yeah.
Well, you got to get from Utah to Nevada somehow.
Yeah.
All right.
Right.
Steve, thank you very much. Appreciate the call. Have another drink for me, will you?
Right, yes. I'm sure the head of the one world government will announce after the rapture that
Jim,
everybody should just go shopping.
Jim, stay with us. We're going to have couple of commercial messages here, and then we're going to bring you back. And Mike on Arcata is on the line. He's not sure if he really wants to, but he's willing to take a shot at the test. Mike, why don't you pray on it for a couple of minutes here? That might help you. We'll be right back. It's the Peter B. Collins Show. The book is called Beam Me Up, Jesus. We're talking with its author, Jim Gerard. 888-5-PETER-B if you'd like to check in before we leave the planet.
Our radio show for the whole family. Dysfunctional family. Stephanie Miller on AM 540 KRXA, 6 a.m. weekdays.
Terry McCarter of Clarion Mortgage is a lifelong resident of Monterey County and a truly dedicated, caring real estate and mortgage professional. With many years of experience, Terry always goes the extra mile for her clients. During your initial consultation, Terry gets to know your preferences and needs, and then helps you choose the loan program that most precisely meets them. Terry takes the time to explain all details of the various options open to you, including any potential risks, and guides you through the mortgage process. If you're too swamped at your desk to stop by during the work hours, make a weekend appointment with Terry or see her after hours. Terry McCarter is your real estate and mortgage professional. Her offices are conveniently located in Salinas at 1271 North Davis Road, just across from Applebee's. Call Terry at 578-0773, 831-578-0773. Don't your children deserve the very best for the holidays? Locally owned and operated, Thinker Toys has been the first holiday shopping stop for generations of parents in Carmel and Monterey, where owner Mark Phillips and his staff take great pride in personally serving every customer. Thinker Toys is dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly. While Thinker Toys specializes in educational toys for newborns through six-year-olds, there's no better place than Thinker Toys to buy great toys for thinking kids of all ages. Make your child's Christmas, Hanukkah, Chrismica, Kwanzaa, or the holiday of your choice extra special with high-quality educational toys and games from Thinker Toys. Open every day at 10 a.m. in Carmel at 7th and San Carlos and in Monterey at the Del Monte Center. Drop by Thinker Toys today and tell Mark that Peter B. sent you. Happy holidays from Thinker Toys.
The Direct Action Task Force Against Torture will be holding a three-day teach-in and vigil from Friday, November 16th through Sunday, November 18th. This event calls for an immediate end to the use of torture by any country. The teach-in and vigil will be held outside the gates to the Presidio of Monterey at Private Bolio Road and Lighthouse Avenue. The event is free and open to the public. For information and schedule, our website is peacemonterey.org or call 831-643-2705.
How many times have you bumped up against the belief that in fact harms you, hurts you, and really acts like a disease? How often is belief a barrier to well-being and happiness? Healing Beyond Limits Radio, heard Sundays from 9 to 10 a.m., cuts through the busyness of life and gets to the heart of what you can do to throw away limitations and live the life you want. Join the unlikely oncologist, Dr. Debbie Lindquist, and world-renowned life coach, journalist, Glenn Brooks, and discover how you can dissolve ideas and actions that hold you back. Heard on the Vibrant Living Radio Network, right here on KRXA 540 AM.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. We're talking with Jim Girard. His book is called Beam Me Up, Jesus, A Heathen's Guide to the Rapture. And you know, if you don't go to heaven,
Whitey's!
There's only one other choice. That's the late, great Curtis Mayfield, one of his signature tunes from the late 1960s. If there's a hell below, we're all going to go. And Jim, do you have a music collection related to the rapture or, you know, songs that kind of suggest it?
I personally don't, but I do. In the book, I do provide a list of God and Satan's top 10 favorite musical numbers.
Well, give us a couple of each. I don't have
okay.
that page marked here.
Okay. Well, you know, for God, on God's iPod, he'll have Mantovani's Music to Be Crucified By and Funkmaster Jesus by Pope Benedict the 16th and Vatican Funkadelic. And for Satan, he's going to have Bach's Black Mass in A minor and Charlie Brown's Satanic Ritual Murder.
Oh, and I found the page here. Don't forget Sympathy for the Devil.
Right, and the theme song to Mr. Ed played backwards.
Now, what about, have you ever done the studies on playing Ozzy Osbourne records backwards to see what kind of satanic messages they contain?
I think those messages are discern playing them forward. I think you have to play them backwards.
All right, let's go back to the phones here because let me get my screen oriented properly here. It's Mike in Arcata who's decided he is willing to step up to the plate here and take the quiz. Hi, Mike.
Hi. It sounds like fun, actually.
All right. Let's give you question number six here. What will likely happen to those people left behind? Capital L, capital B. A, they will die a slow, miserable, terrified death, tormented by their estrangement from the Lord, and ultimately beaten by carnivorous giant slugs or some other crazy stuff we've never seen before, unless they repent and take Jesus into their hearts, in which case they'll get eaten by carnivorous giant slugs and then spend the rest of eternity next to God in heaven. That was eternity, not attorney. B, they will form a new utopian society of smart people. C, they will compete in the Left Behind reality series. Or D, they will suffer from low self-esteem and need lots of therapy.
I like the game. I forget how it was worded.
Let's see. The Left Behind reality series.
Yes.
Okay. Jim, I'm going to pick A.
You're right, because you read the book.
All right, Mike.
It's so sad when the host is stealing CDs from his guest.
It is. Thank you for the call, Mike, and thanks for being a good sport.
No problem.
Let's see. Dave in Sacramento, praise the Lord, and thanks for your call.
Oh, thank you, Peter.
How's it going?
All right, and you?
Not too bad. Your question, what awaits the raptured in heaven? A, a seat at the Lord's side. B, eternal joy. C, a gold watch and a perfunctory speech by Jesus thanking them for their service to the company. Or D, disappointment, because it doesn't measure up to Leisure Village.
I got a bad cell connection. What was the question?
What awaits the raptured in heaven?
I would say A.
Okay. Jim, is that correct?
Yes, it is correct.
All right.
All right.
You're a winner, and that means that you can continue to drive yourself around Sacramento.
I'll just drive home. How's that?
Okay, great.
Thank you very much.
Peter. Good to talk with you. So, Jim, this book really is a lot of fun, and I want to recommend it to people who may feel kind of oppressed by the excessive religiosity that is rampant in our country today, the mixture of religion and politics that often turns people off to religion and politics. And I'm just wondering, what so far has been the best reaction to the book that you've received?
The best reaction? Well, it sold well.
Mm-hmm.
I think the people who are either interested in religion or anti-religion will enjoy it. There's an educational component to it. I do explain the rapture. I give a Reader's Digest version of the Book of Revelation,
right,
chapter by chapter, and as well as the popular forms in popular culture that this is taken, like the Left Behind series of books, mm-hmm, and videos, which I had the misfortune of actually reading and watching.
Really? You did actual research for this book?
Yeah, I did actually quite a lot of research.
Wow. And did you go into therapy shortly after?
Oh, no. I didn't have time.
Didn't have time.
Deadline, you know?
And it is wide-ranging here. I mean, you cover virtually every angle. I'm on the page here. The adult film industry takes on the rapture. One film will be called Left in Her Behind.
That even made me laugh when I was writing it.
One is called God Likes to Watch. Brianna Blow and Susie Sukiyaki realize that God's omniscience means he's watching them have sex. Gunfight at the Beefcake Ranch.
Yeah.
Can't read that one entirely.
That's the gay porn one. Because,
right,
you know, the adult film industry will seize on any popular trend.
Yeah. Well, Jim, I'm out of time here, and I think that, the end times have arrived for you on the Peter B. Collins Show.
And not a moment too soon. No, too soon. If I may, I'd like to tell people they can read excerpts from the book and from my other book, Who Moved My Secret, on my website,
uh-huh,
which is gangof60.com, gangof60.com.
Gangof60.com. Got it. Jim Girard, a pleasure. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. Bye-bye. Stay tuned for more on the Peter B. Collins Show. We'll find out what's next. If you own a classic car, or you've been looking for a special classic, Newport Classic Motors offers complete services for all classic, exotic, and custom vehicles. Dennis Jones and the expert team at Newport Classic Motors, your one-stop classic car headquarters. They offer guaranteed services, from a taillight lens to a frame-up restoration, sandblasting, chroming, even airbrushing, pinstriping, and custom painting for cars, trucks, motorcycles, boats, and even golf carts. Get 20% off any custom paint job booked in October. Newport Classic Motors, located in Southern California near Disneyland. They can arrange quick, reasonable transport from anywhere in the U.S. They'll also buy or sell your classic vehicle fast. Call Dennis today at 714-333-6822. That's 714-333-6822. Newport Classic Motors.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Hollywood writers set a Monday strike deadline.
Although the industry's pie is continually growing, our share continues to shrink.
The nominee has the votes.
Despite the dust-up over torture, Michael Mukasey now appears back on track to be the next attorney general.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition. I'm Bill Whitney. Hollywood scriptwriters have written a cliffhanger for themselves and their employers. CBS News correspondent Steve Futterman reports.
It was expected, and this afternoon it became official. Barring a last-minute surprise Hollywood ending, TV and motion picture writers will hit the picket lines just after midnight on Monday morning. The dispute centers on how to share profits from emerging mediums like DVDs and the Internet. Patrick Verone is head of the WGA West.
The studios made it clear that they would rather shut down this town then reach a fair and reasonable deal.
The producers accused the writers of falsehoods and misstatements. Although the strike doesn't begin until Monday, no talks are scheduled for the weekend, and this writer says Hollywood is bracing for what could be a long dispute.
Eventually, it affects everyone down to the catering companies.
Steve Futterman, CBS News, Los Angeles.
The first casualties of a strike would likely be the late-night talk shows, which rely on fresh material. Now this.
Today, millions of Americans are affected by high mortgage payments. So Quicken Loans is launching Operation Payment Relief, a nationwide effort to lower your high mortgage payments with special 30-year fixed rates around 6.25% with a 6.33% APR. A safe fixed-rate mortgage around 6.25%. No points, no teaser rates, no prepayment penalties, no surprises. Right now, Quicken Loans is helping thousands of American homeowners. Don't wait. Rates can change at any time. Call 800-913-5188 to get your 30-year fixed rate around 6.25%. No points, no teaser rates, no prepayment penalties, no surprises. Call Quicken Loans at 800-913-5188. Equal housing lender licensed in all 50 states. Call 800-913-5188 for details. 800-913-5188.
President Bush in South Carolina today made another pitch for Judge Michael Mukasey.
He's a good man, he's a fair man, he's an independent man, and he's plenty qualified to be the Attorney General.
A majority of the Senate Judiciary Committee now agrees, as CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss reports.
The nomination was getting into serious trouble over the torture issue, but New York Democrat Chuck Schumer pulled it out of the fire by saying he disagrees with Judge Mukasey, but thinks he has integrity and the Justice Department needs him. Schumer had initially suggested Mukasey for the job. With another nod from California Democrat Dianne Feinstein, Mukasey now has the votes needed to get through the Judiciary Committee and to the full Senate floor, where he will almost surely be confirmed.
Officials of the Consumer Product Safety Commission have been taking trips with their airfare, hotel rooms, and meals paid for by some of the industries they regulate. Documents first obtained by the Washington Post show acting chairwoman Nancy Nord and her predecessor, Hal Stratton, have traveled the world. One $11,000 junket to China and Hong Kong was paid for by fireworks manufacturers, and toy makers footed the bill for a trip to the toy fair in New York. CBS News correspondent Nancy Cordes has reaction.
The acting chair issued a statement today saying that all travel taken by her or employees at the CPSC goes through the agency's painstaking review by its Office of General Counsel. Nevertheless, she says because questions have been raised here about the trips she's taken and trips taken by her predecessor on industry dime, she's going to ask the Office of Government Ethics to conduct a complete review.
Nord says she has no intention of resigning. Things looked bad for then-astronaut Lisa Nowak when she was arrested at the Orlando airport after allegedly attacking a romantic rival. But things look very good for her now. A Florida judge has thrown out the evidence gathered in a search of her car and in a lengthy interview right after the arrest.
this is a huge legal victory for Nowak. It essentially guts the prosecution's case, and you can fairly say that unless the DA is able to get that physical evidence and her statement back before the jury, we likely will never see a trial here.
CBS News chief legal analyst Andrew Cohen, the judge says police coerced Nowak, taking advantage of the fact that she hadn't slept for more than 24 hours as she drove to Orlando from Houston. The subprime mortgage meltdown was apparently the last straw for embattled Citigroup CEO Charles Prince. The Wall Street Journal says he plans to offer his resignation at an emergency board meeting Sunday. The stock market went up and down today but ended on the upside. The Dow gained 27 points to finish the week at 13,595. Oil settled at $95.93.
That is a record close. We had an intraday record high of $96 a barrel.
Analyst John Kilduff. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Nice shot! Time out!
Basketball's fun, but I need a cold drink.
My mom's making rich chocolate Ovaltine.
Ovaltine? Let's go!
I guess the kids will be home soon.
Let's make rich chocolate Ovaltine.
Come on! Sarah's mom's making...
rich chocolate Ovaltine.
All right!
My kids love Ovaltine's rich chocolate taste.
And I love all those vitamins and minerals that you won't find in Nesquik powder.
Mom, we're back!
Who wants Ovaltine?
We do!
We better make more.
More Ovaltine, please!
Reason number 22 to switch to Geico. We think renters are cool. Now, we don't know if you were born cool or if it's just all the cool stuff you have in your apartment. The point is, if you want to protect your considerable coolness, ask Geico about renter's insurance. For as little as $12 a month, you can protect all the stuff you hold near and dear, including that combination flat-screen TV espresso machine. Now that is cool.
For a fast, easy rate quote on renter's insurance, visit geico.com or call 1-800-947.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
Fasten your seatbelt, will you? Katha Pollitt joins us on the Peter B. Collins Show, and she's still learning to drive. In her case, a dead man's curve appears to be Riverside Drive in New York City. Katha Pollitt, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Oh, thanks so much for having me, Peter.
Well, you are here by request.
Oh, well, thank you, whoever requested.
It's your cousin from Salinas.
Oh, great. Hi out there.
We were just a week ago talking about Project Censored, and they published their censored, most censored news stories of the past year. And one of them was spiked by The Nation magazine. It was an expose about Dianne Feinstein and her husband's financial complications. And
well,
so,
I'm just a lowly columnist, so I don't know anything about this.
Right, and I'm not going to ding you about it. I'm just explaining.
Uh-huh.
And your cousin called in and said, I love The Nation. Have Katha Pollitt on.
Oh, thank you. That must be Cousin Caroline.
That's who it is, Caroline, now
yeah.
I remember.
Hi, Cousin Caroline. Thank you.
She's listening on our flagship radio station.
She's making me famous.
KRXA 540 in Monterey, which also beams into beautiful Salinas, just on the other side of the lettuce curtain, as they call it.
All right.
Have you visited Central California?
Well, no, actually, just the sort of coastal bits.
Okay. Well, one of the things I've read deeply into your book, I'm at the point where you got your father's FBI file about all of his communist activities.
Yeah.
But I have not yet resolved whether you actually got a license to drive.
Oh, well, this book is called Learning to Drive and Other Life Stories. And, yes, I did get my license at the age of... more than I should have. But at least I got my license before my teenage daughter got hers. That's what's important.
That is good.
And I only had 13 points off on the test.
Mm-hmm.
So the first story is about, Well, learning to drive is a little bit of a metaphor for taking responsibility, for overcoming your fears, for
dealing with philandering boyfriends.
Dealing with the philandering boyfriend and overcoming the philandering boyfriend and finding the perfect driving instructor who, as I say, was like the perfect boyfriend. He was, you know, he helped you without being judgmental. He told you the truth. You know, at one point I say to him, he was a wonderful Filipino guy named Ben. And at one point I said to him, if I took the test tomorrow, Ben, you know, how would I do? And he said, I'd say your chances are about 50-50. And I say, oh, I must really be in trouble because those seem like pretty good odds to me.
And have you had an accident yet?
Well, no. I don't drive on the highway. I drive on little safe back roads.
Uh-huh.
But it is wonderful to have my license and feel that I accomplished that.
And well, what's it like to take driver training in Manhattan?
Oh, well, I talk about that in the story, that we used to go up to this neighborhood, called Castle Gardens.
And yeah, I've never been that far north.
It's sort of old, this old neighborhood in like the 160s and 80s below Inwood, and I'm just blocking on the name of it because I'm so excited to be on your show. And it was sort of this old-fashioned neighborhood, and I say, you know, it's like the 1940s, and how if only I could have was living there, I would have gotten my license long ago, where they don't have these sort of crazy New Jersey drivers that creep up.
We blame it on New Jersey.
Nice. That's where it was.
We blame it on New Jersey? Come on,
yeah.
It's those crazy...
We blame everything on New Jersey and New York.
It's those crazy people without Spitzer licenses driving taxi cabs.
Yeah, it's true. Can I read you a little bit about that?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so I say, because it takes me a while every morning to focus on the task at hand, see, focus and observation are where my big problems, Ben and I have fallen into the habit of long lessons. We drive for 2 hours, sometimes even three. We go up to Washington Heights and drive around the winding, hilly roads of Fort Tryon Park, around the narrow, crooked, Tudor-esque streets near Castle Village. What a beautiful neighborhood, we exclaim. Look at that Art Deco subway station entrance. Look at those Catholic schoolgirls in front of Mother Cabrini High in those incredibly cute, sexy plaid uniforms. I'm careful to stop for the old rabbi. I pause and make eye contact with the mother herding her two little boys. It's like another secret New York up here, preserved from the 1940s, in which jogging yuppies in electric blue spandex look like time travelers from the future among the staid, elderly burghers walking their dogs along the leafy sidewalks overlooking the Hudson. In that New York, the one without road-raging New Jersey drivers or sneaky cyclists, in which life is lived at 20 miles per hour, I feel sure I could have gotten my license with no trouble. I could have been living here all along, commuting to a desk job in Midtown and coming out of the Art Deco entrance at dusk, feeling like I was in the country with sweet-smelling, creamy pink magnolias all around me.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Of course, out there in California, I wouldn't expect there'd be too much sympathy for someone with a little phobia about driving.
No, not too much.
Probably all start driving when you're around 12.
Now, Kathy, you are a political columnist, so I've got to ask you, which of Hillary Clinton's positions on Elliot Spitzer's driver's license proposal do you agree with?
Well, I didn't hear the whole debate, but I heard her, I guess it was her final answer. I know she called a phone friend, but she did have a final answer.
Yeah, Regis was not there, but she did. Yeah,
she said... What I heard her say was that she thought that Governor Spitzer was doing the right thing, that he was keeping, you know, the state safe by having licensed drivers on the road, and that solving immigration reform was a federal problem. I agree with that. What's wrong with what she said?
It was convoluted, and it appeared she took multiple sides of the issue, and it was fodder for the debate, and I think it didn't serve her terribly well. I do agree about the complexity of the situation, and my bottom line is that I don't want people driving around who we don't know the identity of, and they haven't taken the driver's test that you so laboriously approached and succeeded at. And also, you know, I want them to have insurance when they bang into my car.
Exactly. That's really important.
Yeah.
Everybody's really down on her. But I just think, I think that Rudy Giuliani is getting such a pass that from the press that when everybody goes after Hillary Clinton because she seems to be excessively careful in her answers, I say, well, what about him? What about him? What about when he says that, you know, you have sort of double the chance of surviving prostate cancer in the United States than in socialized medicine Britain? It's, none of that is true. None of that is true. He's just a big liar.
Krugman pulled out the analysis in the Times today on the op-ed page.
Excellent. It's worth reading. That was a really good column.
Yeah. Katha Pollitt with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Her new book is called Learning to Drive and Other Life Stories. I was shocked to learn that you have edited what I would call lightweight porn, and you appear to be widely read in the porn publishing world.
Well, that's a story called I don't know how lightweight it is. I mean, you're more experienced at this than I am, I guess.
Well, I haven't read the Beeline series, but it sounded like romance novels with a little explicit sex.
Well, again, maybe our experiences are different, but this is a story called Memoir of a Shy Pornographer, and this, I say, is what happens. This is what happens to you if you don't have a good career plan after you graduate from college, and I ended up being a proofreader of pornographic novels. This was back in the 70s, before there was a lot of video, visual porn. When porn still came in books.
Yeah, right.
And it's a sort of funny story about, you know, how unbelievably boring it is, but and how terribly written these books are. And there you are, I have, like, thirstily, I had to make up these quotes, of course, but they are very representative. Thirstily, she wrapped her hungry vampire red lips like a baker SPD open side pipe vice around his throbbing machine like dot, dot, dot. And then I say, take out that second comma, of course. But are vampires red? And can a vice be said to wrap? Doesn't it more, let's see, clamp? And that's, you know, if anyone out there has ever been a proofreader or a copy editor, you have to, you know, be very, very meticulous and ask all these questions that your average reader probably just slides over. But when you apply those skills to this kind of writing, the results are often quite funny.
Now, you write about this in a way that I find interesting, entertaining, but non-judgmental. And do your feminist friends say, Katha, you let us down?
Oh, you know, that's so interesting, because I often read this story at bookstores because it's funny and it's the right length, and it's a story that, you know, I think men would like to.
You just said it's the right length. According to my email, length really matters.
Okay, well.
I get offers about 16.
The right length.
I get 16 offers a day to get greater length.
It's true. Well, you don't want to, when you're reading out loud, brevity is good, but maybe not in other areas of life. But in any case, I keep waiting for someone in the audience to say, I can't believe you're making a joke out of this terrible, garbage, and it's so oppressive to women, and it's all connected with sexual violence. That never happens. And I think that, I mean, I do say in the story, you know, that I was sort of paddling in the safest of shallows of pornography here without even knowing that. I was very naive when I did this.
Mm-hmm.
But I think maybe pornography was a little different back then, that when it came in books, it just, you know, you're making up the fantasy the way with everything you read. You know, you get a mental picture, right, when you read a novel.
Yeah, there was no Marilyn Chambers who may have been forced to participate in a pornographic photo session or filmmaking.
Right, that was Linda Lovelace, actually, who later said that she had been forced to make Deep Throat at gunpoint.
I did that on purpose so that people will think that I'm not expert in pornography.
Oh, I see. Okay. Now they know I am. But at least ever back then. But anyway, I am not very judgmental, but you know, about this. But, you know, I think, you know, when you write a political column, as I do in The Nation, judgment is sort of what you're supposed to be doing, right? And you're writing these 1,000-word pieces, and you're taking stands on the issues of the day in an op-ed kind of a way. But this is a different kind of writing in this book, Learning to Drive, where I tried to kind of suspend a little bit some of my automatic responses or some of the things I might say in my column, and just get to a sort of deeper place, that if you can sort of withhold a little bit of judgment, it's more like fiction, where you kind of have to withhold a little bit of judgment so that you can understand more.
Well, I can't withhold anymore. We got to stop for some commercials here. Katha Pollitt is with us. The new book is Learning to Drive and Other Life Stories. We'll talk next about some issues she's commented on recently in The Nation and in some op-ed pieces. If you want to join us, lines are open at 888-5-PETER-B. Caroline, call in from Salinas and say hi to your cousin. 888-573-8372, The Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540. Visit our website at krxa540.com.
Are you looking for that new dream home at a price that's not a dream? At Pacific Pride Homes, we really do take pride in the small number of custom homes we build every year, and the fact that we can offer estate-quality homes without the estate price. We are now providing special financing and pricing on two of our beautiful new custom homes located in gated communities in North Monterey County. We invite you to visit us at PacificPrideHomes.com for details and directions.
The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens, he cares. Pacific Grove's Joe Romby has turned his attention to pizza. Central Coast residents and visitors can now enjoy the finest pizza this side of Italy. Whether you crave the elegant simplicity of a pizza margherita or one of Joe Romby's signature creations, you'll fall in love with pizza all over again at Joe Romby's La Piccola Casa Pizzeria, next to Joe Romby's La Mia Cucina on 17th Street in Pacific Grove. Click on JoeRomby.com or call 831-373-0129. That's 373-0129.
Hey everybody, TGIF, Monterey, Carmel, and Salinas. Let's talk a little about the Santa Cruz Mountains. I don't want to forget you folks either in the Santa Cruz, TGIF to you. Highway 17, Redwood Estates, what's going on? We've got a stall. In fact, the right lane partially blocked at this point. Then we're going to jump on down over to, let's go to San Ardo, South 101 before Los Lobos Road. It's a solo vehicle. In fact, the driver of the car went off the roadway there. An emergency crews. We have fire department and paramedics on scene along with CHP. Corralitos, Eureka Canyon Road at Browns Valley. We have an SUV. It's partially blocking the roadway, and CHP being called to the scene there because it's obviously slowing down traffic in the area. Gilroy, westbound 152 for San Felipe, right shoulder, three-vehicle crash. And in Greenfield, Arroyo Seco at Elm, we have six cows walking the lanes. That's traffic on KRXA.
we continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, and I remain your humble host, Peter B. Our guest is Katha Pollitt, P-O-L-L-I-T-T. She writes for The Nation magazine, one of my favorite publications. And her new book, which is a different voice, but not, you know, like schizophrenic or dangerously so. It's called Learning to Drive and Other Life Stories. And, Katha, we've got a caller on the line for you. It's Jake in Eureka. Hello, Jake. You're on the air.
Hey, Peter B. Hey, Katha. I have a question for you. Specifically, I'd like to get your opinion of your former colleague from The Nation, Christopher Hitchens. Specifically, Hitchens' decision to be so public about his support for George Bush's war in Iraq. You know, in the lead-up to the war in Iraq, Hitchens was all over the TV, and basically reading off White House talking points. I was, curious what you thought about that.
Well, I'm pretty much on the record about that. I've written a lot about that. I'm totally against the war. And Christopher left the magazine, supposedly over this issue, and went on to fame and fortune elsewhere. I think it was horrible. I think his whole, he's still for the war. He's still for it. But you know what I secretly feel is, how come when I go on the radio, people ask me about Christopher Hitchens? You know, when Christopher goes on the radio, they don't ask him about me.
My apologies.
Well, and you're not the editor and publisher, and you don't get to choose your stable mates, and so I won't ask you about Alexander Coburn, okay?
Okay, don't ask me about Alexander Coburn.
But I do want to ask you about your current column in The Nation, which is about abortion rights and how contraception could put such a dent in the number of abortions that occur in this country. But we have religious fanatics, like Susan Orr, who is now in charge of the Office of Family Planning, and she doesn't believe in family planning.
Can you believe it? I mean, the Bush administration, they're quite amazing. They are just, continuing as they began. It doesn't matter what their approval rating is or anything. And they have put in charge of HHS, Office of Family Planning, this woman, Susan Orr, who is a longtime opponent of birth control, formerly with the Family Research Council, Gary Bauer and
sure.
all those people,
yeah.
who said, okay, when Bush proposed to stop mandating contraceptive coverage in federal employees' health plans in 2001, she told the Washington Post, we're quite pleased because fertility is not a disease.
So, Katha, is this debate over, and are Democrats going to cave and permit the woman's right to choose to be rolled back or perhaps eliminated?
I don't think they can really do that. But, right now, they are voting for a big increase in abstinence-only education.
Well, it's been so effective.
What?
It's been so effective.
Yeah, really. It's worked so well. Let's have more of it. I think that they're just sort of holding on, hoping that they'll win in 2008, and then, then maybe they'll do the right thing. But right now, they're not doing the right thing, and at least as far as abstinence-only concerns. But, most people in this country are pro-choice. Most people use birth control, and if they don't use birth control, they probably wish they did.
Mm-hmm.
They're very, very small minority of people who take the anti-birth control stand of the Catholic hierarchy. I mean, even Catholics, your rank-and-file mainstream Catholic uses birth control as
yeah.
much as anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just these kind of nuts who the Republicans are very dependent on the goodwill of.
Now, Katha, I've got just about a minute remaining. I want to get you on one other issue, and this is one where we agree, and my listeners take exception to my position. I have said that Cindy Sheehan is ill-advised to challenge Nancy Pelosi over the war and her failure to lead to impeachment.
Well, I wrote about that, too, on my blog at The Nation's website, where I just don't think that that's the best use of Cindy Sheehan's very considerable talents. I think she's, really a brilliant face of the anti-war movement, and she's done a lot to mobilize ordinary people and military families. I just don't know that this is going to go too far.
Well, it won't
but
go anywhere.
No,
Pelosi's virtually invulnerable. Running as an independent doesn't accomplish anything. And opening up a flank to Pelosi's left is not going to help end the war or impeach this president. I'm sorry, it just politically doesn't add up. That's my view. Katha, thanks for joining us. I really enjoyed your book, and I want to recommend it. It's called Learning to Drive and Other Life Stories. We've been talking with Katha Pollitt.
Thanks so much for having me, Peter.
It's my pleasure. I'm Peter B. Collins. We're going to open up the phones and talk about impeachment next.
progressive talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Maybe Democrats don't really want to end the war. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. Now, this doesn't make any sense. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi standing before reporters, looking at the low approval rating of the Democratic Congress and saying she agrees with it.
I know that Congress has low approval ratings. I don't approve of Congress because we haven't done anything. We haven't been effective in ending the war in Iraq.
She says Congress's main failing has been its failure to end the war in Iraq. But in that same news conference, she said something else that tells me maybe there's a silver political lining to not being able to end the war.
550,000 people in our country each year die of cancer. Our commitment to cancer is $5.5 billion in research each year. Not even 2 weeks in Iraq.
Our spending on cancer is not even 2 weeks in Iraq, for a disease that kills far more people each year than even a dirty bomb would. I mean, as bad as terrorism is, it's hard to argue that it's going to kill more Americans than cancer, right? So what's the comeback going to be? The cancer patients somehow deserve it? Of course not. So the Democrats see a chance to turn the Republican blank check for Iraq into a blank check for everything else. Republicans need to understand that as long as the war continues, Democrats will be able to argue for any program, knowing that it's pretty much guaranteed to be cheaper than 2 weeks in Iraq. Heck, you have 17,000 people a year die because they fell off something. If we gave every American a helmet, that's about $9 billion. That's not even 2 weeks. Okay, not even 3 weeks in Iraq.
Reason number 9 to switch to Geico. There's nothing sweeter than saving money on car insurance. It's one of those rare opportunities in life where you can thumb your nose at the system and say, okay, system, listen up. I just got a better deal with Geico. Great savings, personal service 24/7, and the latest in online technology. Of course, the system may sulk for a day or two, but you're going to feel a lot better.
For a free rate quote, visit geico.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Carmel's community bookstore, The Pilgrim's Way, is a locally owned independent bookstore and has been for nearly 40 years.
Discover for yourself our intimate and unique setting, including the secret garden, known locally as a hidden treasure in downtown Carmel. Our friendly staff at Pilgrim's Way are available to assist you with any personal needs or gift buying. And our book selection offers the best of personal development, local interest, bestsellers, novels, children's, and metaphysical, plus much, much more. We have great music and healing tools, cards, and garden statuary.
Visit us at www.pilgrimsway.com or call 624-4955 or visit the Pilgrim's Way, Carmel's only bookstore, and the Secret Garden on Dolores Street between 5th and 6th in Carmel.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
Dennis Kucinich is doing it. He's taking impeachment off the table and to the floor of the House of Representatives next week. That's Neil Young. You know the song called Let's Impeach the President. And I believe that Bush and Cheney richly deserve a full investigation, full accountability, up to and including impeachment, and ultimately and potentially removal from office. As we know, these efforts have been blocked by the Democrats who took control of the House and Senate in January of this year. And I'm very disappointed and discouraged that people like Nancy Pelosi repeatedly said that this is off the table. Well, Dennis Kucinich is one courageous congressman. He's got 21 co-sponsors, and I'm going to read the names for you here shortly. And on Tuesday, the 6th of November, he is going to introduce H. Res. 333, and using a parliamentary tactic, he is going to designate it a privileged resolution. This requires that the House take a floor vote on the issue within 2 days. Now, I don't expect, frankly, too many more than the 21 co-sponsors and Kucinich himself to vote for this. But I would be delighted if 50, 60, 80, 100 members of Congress voted in favor. Because it might actually force Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid to reconsider their bad decisions to avoid impeachment for political reasons. I want to open up the phone lines. I purposely didn't schedule a guest at this time because I wanted to give listeners an opportunity to react to this. And I want to give you a chance to talk about impeachment, but also tell me what you're going to do between now and Tuesday to contact members of Congress and persuade them to vote for this measure. I will concede that at this time it's largely symbolic. Because if the resolution passed on November 6th, 7th, or 8th, by the time the Democrats get organized and let John Conyers' committee go forward, the clock will have run. But even that symbolism is important to me. Because it leaves a mark on the record saying that some of us stood and said, we do not support, we do not condone, we do not permit the kind of power grabs and law-breaking and unconstitutional behavior that has epitomized the Bush administration from day one. For example, we know now that the NSA eavesdropping program, what's called the warrantless wiretaps, the illegal monitoring of American citizens, started in February or March of 2001. We know that from the CEO of Quest Communications, who refused to go along. And it's unconscionable in my book that the Democrats have said, oh, it would suck up too much oxygen, it would divert us from our work. They haven't done a damn thing since January in the first 100 hours, when they actually did achieve a few things. And even Nancy Pelosi in a news conference this week said, yep, if a pollster called me and asked how I feel about the Democrats in the House, I'd say they haven't come through. They haven't stopped the war. They haven't changed the policy. And I concede the challenges that Nancy Pelosi confronts. A divided Democratic caucus, a bunch of blue dogs who won't stand up for the Constitution, and the disease called incumbency that causes members of the Senate and the House to abandon their duties to the citizens and the Constitution in favor of saving their own asses. And sure, I want progressives to survive to vote another day. But this kind of compromise is a major setback to this nation. It sends the implicit message to our country and to the world that what Bush has done is okay with us. Our silence condones it. And the Constitution has a remedy for wayward elected officials. a member of the Senate, a member of the Congress, a member of the Supreme Court, a member of the executive branch can be impeached. Impeachment is the indictment. The second stage is the trial that could lead to removal from office. I support impeachment up to and including removal from office, but I'm a pragmatic guy and I know that's not going to happen. But I believe that it's very important to make this statement here and now. Not 5 years from now when we say, oh, like Hillary does, I wish I knew then what I know now. We have to have the courage to stand and state what we observe here today. There may be more incriminating information that comes out between now and 5 years from now, but we don't need that. We know what they have done. We know what is unconstitutional. We know what's illegal. And if we investigate it, we know we'll find more law-breaking and unconstitutional behavior. And I've made the case before that even if calling for impeachment, permitting it to go forward, and even if we got to the point of a trial in the Senate and it failed, I don't care what it would do to the Democratic prospects in November of 2008. Because for the Democrats to win and for us to lose the Constitution, it's what they call a Pyrrhic victory, an empty victory. So I want to take your calls here in a moment. Lines are open for you at 888-5-PETER-B. Here is the list of people who have co-sponsored H. Res. 333 with Congressman Kucinich. Tammy Baldwin of Wisconsin, Robert Brady of Pennsylvania, Yvette Clark of New York, William Lacey Clay of Missouri, Steve Cohen of Tennessee, Keith Ellison of Minnesota, Sam Farr, congressman for many of us on the Central Coast, Bob Filner from San Diego, Sheila Jackson Lee of Texas, Henry Johnson of Georgia, Carolyn Kilpatrick of Michigan, Barbara Lee of California, Jim McDermott of Washington State, James Moran of Virginia, Donald Payne of New Jersey, Jan Schakowsky of Illinois, Adolphus Towns of New York, Maxine Waters, Los Angeles, Diane Watson, Los Angeles, Lynn Woolsey from Northern California, and Albert Wynn of Maryland. I would not be surprised if one Republican at least, Walter Jones, votes in favor of this measure, but I don't have high hopes that large additional numbers will support it. That's where you have a chance to go to work, use your telephone, use your email, and send clear messages to Washington that you support Dennis Kucinich and this privileged resolution, which he will introduce on Tuesday. Dave and Eureka, you're up first here. Go right ahead.
Well, Peter, I and just about everybody I know definitely supports impeachment and feels it's totally warranted. One of the benefits, if nothing else, would be that it just might be televised and radio coverage, the hearings, and if they put the Downing Street memo right out front for everybody to see, there may be a hell of a lot more heat on members of Congress.
Well, the real challenge, Dave, would be trying to find a way to organize all of the criminal behavior and develop, you know, an investigation and testimony around it. It's a very daunting task. But John Conyers has been at work on this for several years. He's got the framework, the outline of the investigations already in place. He needs approval from one person, the Speaker, Nancy Pelosi, to go forward with investigations that could ultimately form an impeachment process.
Well, you know the way I put this together, and it's most unfortunate, but these big corporate war profiteers that are making so much money, they look with gratitude to these criminals in the White House. They feel these are our sugar daddies. They're what's making us into trillionaires, and we don't want you to harm a hair on their heads. They're saying that to the Congress members that they are stuffing money in the pockets of, and they're getting what they're asking for.
Yeah. Well, and we're seeing now, again, craven behavior by Democrats. Chairman Leahy of the Judiciary Committee has announced he will vote against Judge Mukasey. But two key senators, Chuck Schumer, who brought the Mukasey nomination in and said, oh, he's not a movement conservative, he's okay, he's going to vote for him. And so is Dianne Feinstein. She announced that today, Friday.
Had to figure that one.
Yeah. So disappointing, but not surprising. Thank you, Dave.
Thank you, Peter.
Appreciate your comment. Richard in Sacramento listening to KSAC. You're on the air. Thank you.
Hi, Peter B.
Hi.
Hey, well, I'm going home right now, and I'm turning up the computer, and I'm writing my rep, Matsui, and letting her know that if she doesn't support H.R. 3333, she can forget about any support from me. And, you know, I'm somebody who gives money and walks precincts and so forth. And, you know, my Democratic reps can just forget about any of that help next year from me if they don't get behind us. Shame on Dianne Feinstein. If anybody from her staff is listening right now, y'all should quit your job. If you had any integrity, that's what you'd do. There's prima facie evidence of a felony just off the FISA. Just that, right there. It's already in the press.
Well, I agree, Richard. There are multiple felonies because, you know, thousands, if not millions of people have been illegally surveilled, and Bush reauthorized the program on a regular basis since it was secretly implemented. So I think each one of those events of illegal wiretapping and each one of those events of reauthorization in the face of the Constitution and the clear language of the FISA law, that's clear lawbreaking.
If this guy was, you know, a city councilman or a state rep somewhere or anything, like, you know, he would already be out on bail with an indictment, you know, hanging over his head. He wouldn't just be kicked out of his job. He'd be looking at criminal charges. When you talked earlier and you were talking about investigation, impeachment, and so forth, you only missed one: imprisonment, because that's really how it ought to all end up.
Well, unfortunately, impeachment really only permits a penalty of expulsion from office.
Yeah.
So I would not be opposed to post-administration activities that lead to indictments and you know, any kind of criminal penalties. But at this point, what I want is a clear statement for the record that the United States opposes and rejects the power grabs, the law-breaking, and the unconstitutional behavior of the Bush administration. Bush has repeatedly said that his number one job is to keep America safe, and that is flatly false. He took an oath to protect and defend the Constitution. That is his primary duty as President of the United States. He has failed miserably and intentionally. These are not errors. These are not errors of omission. These are people, Dick Cheney, with his attorney David Addington, and George W. Bush, consciously chose to violate the Constitution, to aggressively expand presidential power, and they are daring the Congress and the courts to rein them in. The courts won't do it, and it pretty much looks like the Congress won't do it either. Richard, thank you very much. Appreciate your call. We're going to take a break and return. You can join this conversation. What do you think about impeaching the president? Do you support Dennis Kucinich? And will you make some phone calls and send emails to try to win over some additional votes, probably mostly Democrats, but that's where we got to start. 888-5-PETER-B. That's my toll-free number. 888-573-8372. The Peter B. Collins Show.
If you like people who talk funny, listen to Stephanie Miller in the morning on AM 540 KRXA. Ha!
In response to rising interest rates, Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage in Salinas offers the following advice to homeowners with variable rate loans. Don't panic or overreact. If you feel trapped in a frightening squeeze, first analyze your situation calmly, then take the best action available. There are so many types of loans, one is very likely to meet your particular needs. For a free consultation with Victor Munoz at Creative Mortgage, call 757-0436. Let Victor share with you the knowledge that he has built up over many years in the mortgage industry. Call Victor at 757-0436 today.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Locally owned, the Ugly Mug Coffee House in SoCal Village. Always lively, always wired. We serve the best organic, shade-grown coffees, loose leaf teas, original bar drinks, and delectable goodies in friendly community atmosphere. Open every day, 6 a.m. till 9 p.m., complete with music, Wi-Fi, and the craziest regulars in Santa Cruz. Meet your friends or just bring yourself to the Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive at Porter Street, for lively conversations and the best cappuccino in town. Hey, what do you want? Rare frickin' sunshine? Delicious.
The Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive and Porter Street in SoCal.
Well, it is that time once again. Happy Friday, everybody. And let's do take a look at the very latest as you folks make your way home tonight. Starting off in San Ardo, South 101 before Los Lobos Road. Solo vehicle went off the roadway. Emergency crews wrapping up things there. We had a problem. Let's see. Let's forget about that. Santa Cruz Mountains, we had an earlier problem. Everything's cleared up now. So I'm just going to let you know that northbound and southbound looking really rather nice. Gilroy, westbound 152 before San Felipe Road. We have a crash there. It's on the right shoulder. Three vehicles. Now, if you're in the Greenfield area, Arroyo Seco at Elm, still got a report of moo. That's right. Six cows walking in lanes. Watsonville, Tarpley Road at Mar, injury crash there. Paramedics, fire department on scene. A vehicle went off the roadway through a fence.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, and I'm your humble host, Peter B. We're taking calls at 888-5-PETER-B. About the plan Dennis Kucinich has announced, Tuesday, November 6th, he'll introduce and demand an immediate vote within 48 hours on his resolution, H-Res 333, to impeach Dick Cheney.
A revolution never comes with a warning. A revolution never sends you an omen. A revolution just arrived like the morning. Ring the alarm, we come to wake up the snoring. They're telling you to never worry about the future. They're telling you to never worry about the torture. They're telling you that you will never see the horror. Spend it all today and we will bill you tomorrow. Three peace and bank accounts in Bahamas. Wall Street crime will never send you to the slammer. Tell all the children in the arms of the mamas. The F-15 is a homicide bomber. TV commercial for a Papa Pill culture. Drug companies circling like a vulture. Amaraki babies with the G.I. Joe father. 10 years from now, is anybody gonna bother? Yeah, fire.
Michael Franti and Spearhead there. That's the title track from their latest CD called Yell Fire. Again, lines are open for you. And if you just tuned in or just changed the channel and escaped from the Savage Nation, we're talking about Dennis Kucinich and his intention now firmly announced to introduce this privileged resolution calling for the impeachment of Dick Cheney. And it requires under the parliamentary rules an up or down floor vote within 48 hours. Don't expect it to pass, but it could be a very interesting way of identifying who's on the right side of this issue. One more thing before we go back to your calls. Just after the top of the hour, next hour, Brad Friedman will join us from bradblog.com, his usual weekly visit. And we want to take up an issue that apparently upset some people in Monterey last week. We took a call from a listener, and Brad was talking about some of the various issues, particularly related to the scanners that take in, they tabulate the information from physical paper ballots that are filled out by a voter. And some people took exception to that, so we're going to open up the lines, let people talk about it, and Brad wants to explain and maybe even argue with people who might disagree with him. But that's how we'll kick off the next hour here on the PBC show. Next up in Salinas, it's Caroline. Hey, Caroline, welcome back
Hi.
To the show today.
I missed Katha. I was driving, and I didn't want to get in a car accident while she was talking about learning to drive.
Well, that's good judgment on your part, but we had a lovely visit with her, and we blamed you for it.
I know, that's great. No, I heard the whole thing, and hopefully she's still talking, and come on out to Dad's 90th birthday party. Personal invitation.
And when is that?
That's tomorrow. I don't think she'll make it from New York after
Okay.
Rainy County.
Well, can we say happy birthday? Who's the lucky 90-year-old?
He's 90, yep.
And what's
Vincent Kenny.
Vincent Kenny. Happy birthday, Vincent.
Thank you. World War II vet.
Yeah.
I'm calling about, to say hi to Katha and thank you. Second, Kucinich, of course, I support him any way, which way I can. Driver, wearing his bumper stickers on cars and standing on the corner every weekend with my Kucinich for Peace signs, write to Sam Farr. What else can we do?
Well, we need to work on the conservative Democrats. So, for example, not too far from you is Dennis Cardoza. He's got the old Gary Condit seat out of Modesto.
Oh, yeah.
And he's a blue dog Democrat, unlikely to vote for this without a big push from constituents. Likewise, Doris Matsui in Sacramento is not on the list of co-sponsors of the Kucinich bill. And there are, a whole bunch. What is the count? We have a total of 50. There are like 30 Democratic Congress members from California, and only about 6 of them are currently supporting this measure. So you can reach out to people in neighboring districts, or you can go across state lines and reach out to members of Congress who you might think can be persuaded to vote for this.
That could be done. I will as much as I can. The other thing I'm wondering is I'm a teacher and active in the teachers' unions. And I'm wondering how we can get the NEA, National Education Association, to swing around and support Kucinich and to be active.
Yeah, that's a tough one. I don't know the internal politics there, but it's worth trying if only to get a list of people you could email and say, hey, I'm just a member. This is not authorized or endorsed, but we need your support to make this important point.
Good idea.
All right, Caroline, thanks for calling.
We
do take requests here, you can tell. Amy is on the road driving. Welcome, Amy. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, thanks so much, Peter. First of all, I want to make a plea to my congressperson, Peter DeFazio from Eugene, Oregon, to get on board with Dennis Kucinich and support this resolution. I'm a radio journalist and producer in Eugene, Oregon. I've talked to Peter many times, and he's indicated to me that he's very concerned about the way that Vice President Cheney yields his power and wields his power. And I really encourage him to get on board here. Secondly, I saw Nancy Pelosi on television last night, and she looks terrible. She looks like she's constantly anxious, worrying about something. I wonder what, if anything, people are putting in front of her to keep her from putting impeachment on the table and making it an issue. Also, I want to give thanks to David Swanson and other people at Impeach PAC and at Downing Street for their persistence is staying on this issue, and believe me, I hope it's successful.
You bet. David Swanson and Bob Furtick, they're great Americans who have fought long and hard on these issues. Thank you, Amy.
My pleasure.
Mike in Sacramento, you're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hey, Peter.
Hi.
I just got off the phone with Doris Matsui's office asking her to please sign on to this.
Thank you.
And I just wanted to point out, that if he is ultimately impeached and removed and or if they wait until he's out of office and then try and indict him, I think that's why he's building his ranch down in Paraguay right now. But I also told her, with regard to Mukasey, and he says he doesn't want anyone if he can't get Mukasey, I told her, take him up on that offer and tell him based on his track record with attorney generals that he needs another one like Larry Craig needs another public restroom or like Mark Foley needs the key to Boys Town.
You get the last word, Mike. Thank you.
Thanks.
I really appreciate these listeners. Thanks for your comments. Thanks for your commitment. Now make those phone calls. Send those emails. This is the Peter B. Collins Show. Brad Friedman will join us next from bradblog.com. This program's produced in San Francisco by Katrina Rill. Brian Urban is taking your calls today. Our website, peterbcollins.com. If you own a classic car, or you've been looking for a special classic, Newport Classic Motors offers complete services for all classic, exotic, and custom vehicles. Dennis Jones and the expert team at Newport Classic Motors, your one-stop classic car headquarters. They offer guaranteed services,
from a taillight lens to a frame-up restoration, sandblasting, chroming, even airbrushing, pinstriping, and custom painting for cars, trucks, motorcycles, boats, and even golf carts. Get 20% off any custom paint job booked in October. Newport Classic Motors, located in Southern California near Disneyland. They can arrange quick, reasonable transport from anywhere in the U.S. They'll also buy or sell your classic vehicle fast. Call Dennis today at 714-333-6822. That's 714-333-6822. Newport Classic Motors.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. TV and movie writers take a stand.
Whatever it takes to get a good contract is what we intend to do for as long as it takes.
Patrick Verone, president of the Writers Guild West, says they'll strike early Monday morning unless they have a contract. More from CBS News correspondent Steve Futterman.
The dispute really centers on how to share profits from so-called new media, which includes DVDs, internet downloads, even downloads to cell phones. These are going to be big profit-making areas in the future, and the writers say they want their fair share and they want to establish their share now.
At this point, no talks are scheduled, but the Alliance of Motion Picture and Television Producers says it's ready to meet and finish negotiations. President Bush's choice to head the Justice Department seems assured of confirmation now. CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss reports.
Despite the dust-up over torture, Michael Mukasey now appears back on track to be the next Attorney General. Initially seen as a shoo-in, Democrats started turning against him when he wouldn't say what seemed pretty obvious, that simulated drowning was torture. Judiciary Committee Chairman Pat Leahy and other Democrats said they'd vote against him. But New York Democrat Chuck Schumer, who initially suggested Mukasey for the job, said he had integrity and independence and he'll support him. So will California Democrat Dianne Feinstein. That means Mukasey will have the votes needed to get to the full Senate floor and be confirmed. Bob Fuss, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
Former astronaut Lisa Nowak, charged with attacking a romantic rival at the Orlando airport, might never go to trial. CBS News correspondent Peter King reports a judge has tossed out crucial evidence.
Nowak's attorney complained that the Miranda warnings were inadequate and unclear, that she wasn't specifically told she had the right to an attorney present before and during questioning. Nowak wasn't allowed to make any phone calls. There were no written waivers of her rights and no written consent to search her car. The ruling also cited Nowak's emotional and physical condition, the length of the time she was held and questioned, along with promises and threats that were made.
We might never know the cause of the North Carolina beach house fire that killed 7 college students. Debbie Smith, the mayor of Ocean Isle Beach, says investigators confirm it started on the back deck. There's extensive damage there, but they don't know how.
Agents could not rule out improperly discarded smoking materials as a possible cause of the fire.
Smith says there's no indication of arson. Financial giant Citigroup, like Merrill Lynch, has lost billions in the subprime mortgage meltdown, and like Merrill Lynch, its boss might soon be gone. The Wall Street Journal says CEO Charles Prince will offer his resignation at an emergency board meeting on Sunday. A volatile day on Wall Street, but the Dow ended higher, up 27 points to close the week at 13,595. The Nasdaq, 15 points higher at 2810. And oil jumped nearly $2.50 a barrel to a record close of $95.93. It briefly touched 96 during the session. This is CBS News.
This is Charles Osgood of the Osgood File. If your company is searching for a few new chairs or furnishing an entire office, Hahn offers a wide range of products from file cabinets to executive desks to suites. Hahn knows your choice is a long-term investment. Its full line of thoughtfully designed products are adaptable, modular, and multipurpose, maximizing flexibility in your office. Hahn, smart now, smarter later. For a free catalog or quote, visit gethahn.com. That's gethon.com. And I'll see you on the Osgood File.
Die Hard presents Under the Hood with Positive and Negative.
Man, it's cold. Are we parked inside of a glacier?
It's brisk. I kind of like it.
I'm freezing my bolts off.
Well, good thing we're a powerful Die Hard battery. We're built to start on cold days.
And can we start now? I've got icicles hanging off of my beard.
Yeah, beardsicle.
For reliable starting power when you need it most, choose Die Hard Automotive Batteries. Get yours installed at Sears Auto Centers. For locations near you, visit Sears.com.
The Red Cross is red-faced after the revelation that some of its staffers in Southern California had luxury accommodations. Reporter Marna Davis has the story.
During the wildfires, hotel rooms were hard to find, so some of the Red Cross volunteers ended up at swanky hotels like the Hotel Del Coronado and the La Costa Resort and Spa.
These people are not there at the spa using the spa. These are Red Cross disaster worker volunteers. They're working 12, 14, 16 hours a day. If they're there at all, it's to catch a few hours sleep and get back on the job.
Red Cross spokesman H.G. Link says with so many evacuated families staying in cheaper rooms, the Red Cross had no other options than 4- and 5-star hotels. Martina Davis for CBS News, San Diego.
Hurricane Noel, churning just off the eastern seaboard with winds up to 80 miles per hour, presents a danger to ships and perhaps the island of Bermuda, but it presents an opportunity for meteorologists. They've been waiting to test a new pilotless hurricane research aircraft. It went into action this afternoon. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Today, millions of Americans are affected by high mortgage payments. So Quicken Loans is launching Operation Payment Relief, a nationwide effort to lower your high mortgage payments with special 30-year fixed rates around 6.25% with a 6.33% APR. A safe fixed-rate mortgage around 6.25%. No points, no teaser rates, no prepayment penalties, no surprises. Right now, Quicken Loans is helping thousands of American homeowners. Don't wait. Rates can change at any time. Call 800-913-5188 to get your 30-year fixed rate around 6.25%. No points, no teaser rates, no prepayment penalties, no surprises. Call Quicken Loans at 800-913-5188. Equal housing lender licensed in all 50 states. Call 800-913-5188 for details. 800-913-5188.
Live, unscripted, and unrehearsed, of course. It's the unpredictable Peter B. Collins Show, originating from that dangerous liberal enclave, San Francisco. Call in anytime toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and add your voice to Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to this hour of the Peter B. Collins Show. We're 6 minutes into it. It's going to be great. How do I know? Well, we already counted the votes. We used a touchscreen voting machine. Every week about this time, Brad Friedman joins us. He's our go-to guy on election protection issues here in the United States of America. He is the citizen journalist who operates bradblog.com. Hey, Brad.
Hey, Peter. How are you, my friend?
You've had quite a week. I mean, there's a new video documentary out that features you prominently in green, of course.
Of course.
And the John Tanner story has been all over the news. There was a congressional hearing that you live blogged earlier this week. And there is a bill proposed in the Senate that isn't perfect. In fact, it sucks in a lot of ways, but it calls for the elimination of touchscreen voting machines sometime in the next decade.
It does, and don't forget, we kicked off the week Monday morning with quite a story about Sybil Edmonds. So, yeah, it's been a hell of a busy week around here.
And we will touch on that a little bit later, but Sybil, a longtime friend of this program, who is, of course, someone who was trying to blow the whistle, and they repeatedly put chewing gum in the whistle, and she is subjected to very unusual gag orders, and she's willing to violate those gag orders for certain conditions. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But I did mention to listeners that we apparently struck a nerve in Monterey County last week when we took a call and you explained some of your views about the use of the optical scanner machines and their relative safety, particularly compared to the touchscreen voting machines. And so we want to open this up, and the phone number, you know, 888-5-PETER-B, If you didn't understand Brad's point or if you disagreed with it, I want you to give us a call and we will air it out. That's what this program's all about. 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. So, Brad, roll back the tape. And to the best of your recollection, what was the discussion last week, and what messages have you gotten that people were offended or upset by?
Well, I had a couple of folks who had sent an email or left comments at Brad blog. Excuse me, some of it based on misreporting, frankly, of our discussion last week. But there was a caller, I think it was Valerie, who called in talking about a meeting that they were having out in Monterey with the Monterey Democratic Party, if I recall correctly, in which they were going to encourage them to adopt support for all hand-counted paper ballots, which, by the way, sounds great to me. That said, I suspect, and I suspected during the call, that there would be quite a bit of resistance to it for a number of reasons from those Democrats, and I suggested that if that were the case, they might want to take a slightly different tactic that I think could prove useful, which is to say, see if you can work with the registrar of voters out there or even, you know, get the Democratic Party to agree to this, to do hand counts of two or three different precincts in the upcoming elections this November, next February, whenever it is. And even agree that, you know, whatever hand-counting fines, precinct-based hand-counting fines, will not be the official tally. Then, later on, if there is, in fact, a discrepancy between the hand counts and the optical scan counts, you can ask for a recount. And, in fact, you can find out, well, who, in fact, was more accurate, the hand counters or the optical scanners. I suspect it'll be the hand counters. But the problem is a lot of the folks who are pushing for 100% hand-counted paper ballots right now seem to be missing a couple of things. First, it has been, in fact, a very long time since California and most places in the country have actually done hand-counted paper ballots. I'm not sure if California has ever done precinct-based hand-counted paper ballots. I know they certainly haven't done it since the initiatives were added to the ballots, which has made the you know, the ballots incredibly long. Now, one of the arguments against hand-counted paper ballots is that it'll take too long. Hand-count paper ballot supporters, on the other hand, have argued that it won't take all that long because you're doing it at the precinct. There's not all that many ballots. And I believe that's generally true, but we don't have a lot of data to back up that argument. And doing sort of test beds, proving grounds, if you will, for this to begin to collect data, I think will make the argument in favor, hopefully in favor of hand-counted paper ballots, much easier to make because we can point to various successes in test trials and so forth around the country. Well, it came back to me that you know, folks were angry at me. They felt that I wasn't supporting hand-counted paper ballots enough. They felt that I was pushing for optical scan systems. And frankly, I'm not. I think there are, you know, serious concerns about optical scan voting systems. They're prone to error. They can be fixed, but on the other hand, they do give us a paper ballot where we can definitely determine the voter intent. And people have said, oh, they're just as bad as DRE, direct recording electronic touchscreen machines, and I could not disagree more with that. Yes, they may be inaccurate and everything else. However, as I said, it does give us a true record of the voter intent that we can use on election night, after election night, and forever thereafter. That's the too long nutshell for you, but there you go.
And so, Brad, if we were to use a 10 scale, with 10 being the riskiest voting process or system available, and let's assign a 10 to the Diebold touchscreen machines,
okay,
where would you place on that spectrum or continuum the optical scan machines, given what you just said, that they are scanning an actual physical ballot that was controlled by the voter?
Well, I would put the danger, frankly, almost as high as with the DREs. meaning the danger of something going wrong, being misprogrammed, being hacked, and so forth. But where there is the huge difference from the optical scans from the DRE systems is that you know, even in an election where, you know, everything is counted perfectly, if I have a question about it, I can go back a week later, a month later, 5 years later, if you will, and look at the ballots and determine for myself that that election was counted accurately. There is absolutely no way in the world that can ever happen with any electronic DRE, so-called touchscreen voting system. Just can't happen. That's a huge difference. Also, remember, politically, we're having a hard enough time making people understand that paper ballots are, in fact, the safest, most secure way to carry out an election. That fight alone has been a mountain that we're climbing. We're doing well, but it's been no easy thing to pull off. And so I see this as a path being laid one stone at a time. First, you have to get the paper ballots. Then you can fight about how they should be counted.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, my focus is making sure that there is a paper ballot for every vote cast in America, and then we will continue this fight.
Mm-hmm. And, Brad, let me come at it from just a slightly different way, and correct me if technically what I'm about to say is inaccurate.
Mm-hmm.
And my understanding and my criticism of the DREs, the touchscreen voting machines, is that there is the possibility that what's on the screen will not match what is on the paper trail, will not match what is in the hard drive of the machine, and that it can be manipulated as it is being processed. So I see those three vulnerabilities, plus the prospect of DREs being hacked either through a wireless system that would enable you to actually, you know, remotely control votes mm-hmm. as they're being cast, or through the output of the device, at which time, you know, things could be manipulated.
You're absolutely right. There is no way that any human being can verify that their vote has been counted as cast by a DRE voting machine.
Mm-hmm.
It's impossible to verify. You can't see inside an invisible electronic ballot. Superman couldn't even do it. And that's the danger. And on top of that, I would add, you know, because there's a lot of folks who have been out pushing for this whole election reform bill, which has some audits, post-election audits attached to it, which are very much needed, by the way. But if you're auditing a touchscreen DRE system, it's completely useless in that it has been shown that you can change both the internal numbers on that machine and the so-called paper trail in such a way that you could audit the election 100% of those paper trails, and you would never find that the election had been gamed.
Mm-hmm.
So the result is you end up with something more dangerous because you could do an audit of a DRE portion of the election and find out that it was 100% accurate, even though it was gamed, and at the same time audit the paper ballots, for example, the absentee ballots and so forth from the election, and find out that they are wrong because optical scan systems are notoriously inaccurate. The result is you could come out of an election that has been hacked on a DRE system, and you could use an audit with that election to say, hey, DREs are the most accurate way of counting your votes, and you would be using the proof of a hacked election to do it. I think it's a very scary idea.
All right, we're going to take a break, and then we'll go to the phones. If you have a comment, give us a call now, particularly our Monterey listeners. If something didn't seem right to you or you disagree, give us a buzz, 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. Coming up, we'll get an update on John Tanner's testimony on Capitol Hill. That's a story broken at bradblog.com. And we'll talk about Sybelle Edmonds' desire to rip off the gag and tell all. That's ahead this hour on the Peter B. Collins Show. KRXA 540, progressive talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Visit our website at krxa540.com.
Beyond Wheat Artisan Bakery, right here in Monterey, brings you sugar-free and gluten-free muffins and cakes that are all natural, with organic ingredients and loaded with super grain nutrition. Find Beyond Wheat at Whole Foods Market in Monterey, Cornucopia Community Market in Carmel, Staff of Life in Santa Cruz, and New Leaf Markets in Santa Cruz and Capitola. Be sure to try Beyond Wheat for a truly special treat, created to keep you happy and totally guilt-free. You'll be so glad you did.
Pam and Nancy from the Potting Shed in Aptos on the Christmas season.
We have the tree, we have refreshments. It's turned out to be a really big season for us.
Someone was in the other day who was telling their companion who had been there for the first time that, oh, and they also do Christmas, and you should see it with all the lights. It's just beautiful. So.
It's one of the prettiest times of the year.
Yeah. Christmas is fun. I mean, we start the kickoff with the, for the season, the first weekend in November with an open house, and we have homemade refreshments. In December, we have a live green wreath workshop where people can come and make their own green wreaths.
Call us at 685-1626, and we keep lists of anyone who's interested in the classes. Schedule them accordingly. We're located at 5752 Freedom Boulevard in Aptos.
About 2 miles east of Highway 1 heading towards Watsonville. You have to look for us. We're in an old barn. If you look for our mailbox, it's painted bright yellow and it's shaped like an old barn, so it makes it a little bit easier to find. The Potting Shed.
Gifts for gardeners and everyone. We're hard to find, but it's worth it.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Hi, I'm J.R. Medina, owner of PG Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue in Pacific Grove. My family and I are proud to serve the finest selection of beer, wine, liquor, and non-alcoholic beverages in the Monterey area. Our store is evolving beyond adult and soft drinks. We serve freshly brewed Acme coffee, the finest breakfast burritos, and now Nathan's hot dogs. We're open daily. Come by and check out the big, big selection and low, low prices at PG Liquors. That's PG Liquors at 229 Grand in Pacific Grove.
Hey everybody, let's take a look at the latest. Happy Friday as you folks make your way home tonight. And we are going to mention that what would have a problem in, Gilroy, westbound 152 before San Felipe Road. It is a three-car crash. Everything's off to the shoulder. That's the good news. Watsonville, Tarpley Road at Marr, injury crash. We have a car that actually went off the roadway and through a fence. CHP is on scene there, and obviously paramedics and fire department there as well. Santa Clara County, eastbound 152, just after Castro Valley Road, a three-vehicle crash, reportedly blocking lanes. CHP on the way to the scene. Capitola, southbound 1 at Park Avenue, we have a pickup truck blocking lane. Checking traffic, southbound 1 between Monterey and Carmel, reportedly slow.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. Lines are open if you'd like to talk with me and Brad Friedman this hour. 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And as we mentioned, his Bradness is one of the many election protection activists featured in a brand new documentary called Uncounted, The New Math of America's Elections. And it's produced by a filmmaker named David Earnhardt from Nashville. We're going to get him on the program in the next week or two. But in the meantime, you can score a copy of this DVD. The details are right at the top of the page at bradblog.com.
Thank you, sir. I much appreciate that. And there's a deal for how you could get a twofer premium. We're giving away to folks who join as monthly subscribers. We're giving away a copy of Lloyd Daigle's Troubletown cartoon collection signed by the cartoonist himself. It's pretty cool, and of course, we appreciate anyone who can support us at Brad Blog, because it's all done by folks who read us. That's the only way we keep going.
Well, and the Brad Blog prize warehouse is just jammed right now. You got to move some of that stuff.
We do indeed. And but I tell you, I think you got to look at Uncounted, didn't you?
I did.
I think it's a smashing documentary with some great stories. It tells the Clint Curtis story. For folks who have listened to this show and read Brad Blog, they'll know about vote rigging whistleblower Clint Curtis. Diebold whistleblower Stephen Heller makes his first film appearance in there. John Conyers is in there, and I am too. But
and our buddies, anyway. Our buddies from Columbus, Ohio, Fetrakis and Wasserman,
and Wasserman, indeed, a lot of great folks, great patriots, and I think he did a hell of a good job of sort of putting the story together. Not only looking back at 2004 and 2006. But all with an eye towards 2008, because as we move forward, Lord knows, that's what this fight is now about.
Got a call on the line, Peter V. in Salinas. Welcome, you're on the air with Peter B. and Brad.
Good afternoon, Brad. Good afternoon, Peter.
Hi.
Hey, Peter.
Brad, may I pitch the virtues of the absentee ballot?
You may try.
Okay. Well, I believe it first fills your requirement of being paper. Wouldn't you say it fits that?
It does.
And, Brad, what I feel is the most virtuous part of the absentee is the leisure at which you can fill out the ballot without the anxiety of standing in a line or worrying about whether it'll actually be counted as you wait the last moment.
Mm-hmm.
You've got all the time you need to fill it out.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I believe that turning it over to the post office is superior to these various and different precincts where you have volunteers that have to lock a box, and then you have to count on them getting it to the county registrar. Is that correct?
Not really, and here's the difference.
Go ahead, Brad. That's what I'm fishing for.
Yeah, it actually depends. If you're using precinct-based optical scanner, then it's counted by the scanner right there at the polls. Of course, if you're using precinct-based hand counting, it's also counted right there at the polls. But here's the difference. The danger of absentee ballots, voter fraud, such that we have it, really election fraud in this case, is done more by absentee ballots than by any other means. And the reason it's easy to do it that way is because those absentee ballots all go into a sort of a big black hole. And we have no idea how many came in. You have no idea when you give it to the post office if it ever gets delivered. And then once it's delivered, you have no idea if it's ever counted. Unlike at the precinct, where we know there were 327 voters that day at that precinct, there should be 327 ballots. So this move, and it's one of the downsides of pointing out the problems with the electronic voting machines, is a lot of people have now convinced themselves that vote by mail is the way to go. It's not. It's damn dangerous. And the hands down, the safest way to assure your ballot is counted and counted accurately is to show up on election day, fill out a paper ballot right there at the polling place. It's not even close to absentee vote by mail.
Well, now, Brad, I would disagree with that as far as the post office has a stellar record of delivery. So when you say you question whether it'll get there, I believe the IRS, my credit card companies, and PG&E all trust that both their bills and the checks will both be received.
Sure.
I doubt you can really put forward that, you can't really count on it being received. Secondly, we've had on here in Monterey the registrar telling us that when absentees come in, they're immediately scanned and logged, and it's also checked against the signature that's on the exterior, and it has to match the address. So, Brad, again, if that's as far as Monterey goes, that's incorrect to say that they're not immediately checked. And the other point, Brad, is that...
Peter, I don't believe I said they weren't immediately checked. I'm saying you have no idea what happens to them. They create these super precincts where they basically dump all of the absentee ballots into, and it's virtually impossible to check if yours or anyone else's got counted, much less counted correctly.
All right, gentlemen, we got to pause for a break.
Thanks,
here,
Chris.
And
thanks,
Peter will take this up on the other side of the break. Brad, stay tuned and stand by. We'll continue in a moment here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you've had the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
KRXA is the radio home of Central Coast sports. Join us this fall as KRXA 540 brings you the high school football game of the week. Follow the race for the championship of the Monterey Bay, Tri-County, and Mission Trail High School Athletic League. Hi, this is Rob Ponce. Join John Berlin and me each weekend as we bring you the play-by-play of the high school football game of the week.
Gilroy's on the bus headed south to meet up with North Salinas this Friday. 7:15 pregame, 7:30 kickoff.
Doesn't it seem that the service is lacking at most service stations? Well, not at the Carmel Shell at Rio Road and the Valero at Mid-Carmel Valley Shopping Center. We take care of our customers. Carmel Shell is happy to pump your gas and check under your hood at your request for no extra charge. At Mid-Carmel Valley Valero, we offer expert car repair at reasonable rates with a fast turnaround. We do tune-ups, brakes, safety checks, and a 26-point inspection with an oil change. We specialize in Lexus and Toyota. Our mechanic is ASE certified. Call us at 624-0722. That's 624-0722. Carmel Shell at Rio Road and Mid-Carmel Valley Valero, putting the service back in service stations.
This is Larry Levine of the local United Nations Association. Don't miss our International Film Festival November 9th, 10th, and 11th at the beautiful Golden State Theater in downtown Monterey. We will screen 12 outstanding documentary films from Sudan, Iran, Cuba, Bolivia, Lesotho, and other countries. Admission is just $5 per day, free admission for all students. For films and times, go to www.unamontereybay.org. That's unamontereybay.org.
Thank you.
live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America. Here we go, starting another war. We got our heads up our asses. You know, we're really bored. Hey, hey, we're the Republicans. And people say we act like clowns. We love natural disasters. Did somebody really drown? We lie whenever we want to. Yeah, you know it's true. And if you don't believe us, turn on the nightly news. Hey, hey, we're the Republicans. And people say we act like clowns. We just steal elections. Run the country into the ground.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show with Brad Friedman from bradblog.com. If you've never been to Bradblog, shame on you. It's a great website, a lot of powerful information about a variety of issues, mostly related to elections and democracy. You know, that old-fashioned idea of how we run this country. Brad, I want to continue on the theme we were talking about just before the break with Peter from Salinas about absentee ballots. And we've got a caller from Oregon we'll talk to in just a moment. That's a big vote-by-mail state.
Mm-hmm.
But people do have a kind of false sense of security that the absentee ballot is more secure than going to their polling place.
Yeah, and that's just... that's just not the case. And I had, we ran out of time there, but I had hoped to mention to the caller, Peter, that he compared it to, well, we do all sorts of business via mail, you know, the IRS, and so forth. That's true. But, you're able to verify every step of the way with the IRS. There is a paper trail. You know exactly if your check was cashed or not, and so forth. And that's just one of the problems that we have with the secret ballot system, which we obviously we need, but it means that the way we deal with our ballots and our vote is different than the way we do many other things. You know, the idea that people say, well, why don't we use DREs because we use ATM machines all the time and they work just fine. Well, you don't have to trust an ATM to work. You get a paper trail. It comes in the form of dollars that are spit out by the machine, or when you make a deposit, you get a receipt that you can then call the other end and check to make sure it was, in fact, counted accurately. Not so when you're dealing with the secret ballot in elections.
Yeah. All right, let's go to Tom in Coos Bay. Tom, thanks for your call today, and tell us about your practices there of voting by mail in Oregon.
Well, we've been doing it now for, gosh, at least a decade, and I don't think you could get us to give it up anymore. I think everybody is very happy with it, even the people who might have opposed it at first. As the person mentioned with absentees, it's very convenient that you can sit there with the ballot, fill it out at your leisure. You don't have the hassle of trying to make time on election day to get down there. You also have the option that you can drop it off in a ballot box at various places, public libraries, police stations. I think a few other places have it.
Probably the Registrar of Voters.
Oh, yeah, you could drop it off in the courthouse. I mean, there usually are convenient places around, so you can both save postage and be sure it gets directly into a box. I have been down to the Register of Voters several times, seen them run test runs with the, we have ES&S scanners that scan the things through. They go through a bunch of scannings to make sure that things are coming out okay. I have heard of no significant, you know, claim of any sort of fraud or anything. We're just probably 100% sold on it. And I think other states would do well to give it a try.
Now, Brad, he just described scanning and rescanning. Is that the practice in most jurisdictions where they use mail-in ballots?
No, it's not. And as a matter of fact, some of the best election integrity advocates I've met in the country actually come out of Oregon, the Oregon Voting Rights Coalition, OregonVRC.org, if I remember correctly. And what they've pointed out to me is that while Oregonians certainly like their vote by mail, the success for that system is due in no small part to the Secretary of State Bradbury up there, who has procedures in place, but they're not in place by law, and they're quite concerned what will happen to that system once they lose eventually their Secretary of State, who they say is very good on this stuff. You know, it should also be pointed out that vote by mail, absentee voting in general, is also the easiest way to do vote buying. In other words, I might offer, you know, $5 to anybody who, or $20 to anybody who wants will vote a particular way on their ballot. All they got to do is drive it by my house, show it to me, and I'll give them the money. That's another concern with vote by mail. So there are many such concerns. I do know that the folks in Oregon do like it, and I do understand certainly the convenience of it. And think it should certainly be made available to folks who cannot make it to the polls on polling place on election day.
Fred, let me just say yeah. You know, I agree with you on that that problem. In fact, it's always bothered me that we have assisted living facilities that tend to have 100% turnout, and I think a lot of those people probably aren't capable of filling out the vote themselves. That does bother me.
Mm-hmm.
But with this vote by mail, we also get an incredibly high turnout in important elections. This current little special one is, you know, we're not getting much, but in a normal election, we'll get, you know, 75% easily, sometimes well into the 80%, which would kind of nullify some of what you're talking about in terms of vote buying, because we're getting most people actually voting.
Well, yeah, but you actually sort of just contradicted yourself. In fact, if you're getting these 100% rates at the senior citizens' home, and you're worried that it's because not everyone is voting and somebody's filling out those ballots for them, well, no wonder you got such a high turnout rate.
Well, let me also say that I remember before we had the vote by mail, we also were getting pretty much 100%. Most of us would vote before breakfast. It's almost the only thing they have to do there. And, you know, in fact, my precinct happened to have been in one of those things, and I was always surprised that I got there at, you know, 8 o'clock in the morning and there were already, you know, couple hundred votes on the
ballot.
Well,
look, it's certainly a worthy debate, a worthy discussion. I'm concerned with the way the country, you know, that doesn't have most states don't have a Secretary of State like Bradbury to oversee the system, and I'm concerned that the problems that we've seen now undeniably with the electronic voting machines, that the result is going to be all vote by mail.
From this area, but the voting is actually under the control of the local county clerks in each county, the Secretary of State oversees them, but it's the county clerks who run the counting.
Well, that's right, but there are certain procedures that, in my understanding, from the talking to the folks in Oregon, the election integrity folks up there, certain procedures that Bradbury has in place that must be done at the county level to ensure there's some form of integrity and transparency and so forth. And, good Lord, I've certainly seen to and talked to enough election county election officials and secretaries of state around the country who I wouldn't trust them to go to my mailbox for me.
Brad, I mean, you're going to have those same kind of people counting the ballots no matter what system you decide to have them do, right? I mean,
that's exactly
right.
It's
going to be the Secretary of State and the local officials.
That's exactly right. And that's why if you have a system that is 100% transparent from start to finish, you know how many ballots went out. You know that people were not coerced when they voted. You know how many ballots, were turned into the box. You can check them. You can count them. You can recount them every step of the way. That's what you need. No, there is no silver bullet for a perfect election system. What makes it as close to perfect as we can is transparency and citizen oversight, making sure that we never trust any election official or any voting machine. It's all the public. I trust them more to put their eyeballs on this thing and make sure it's correct, and you've got to have a system that allows them to do that.
Tom, I agree, and I would just encourage any other honest state, you know, I mean, Oregon, obviously one of them, any state, to give it a try.
All right. Thank you, Tom. I really appreciate it. I want to get to Jess in Sacramento before he jumps off the bridge into the American River. Hi, Jess.
Yes. Hi, Peter.
What's on your mind?
Well, let's see. This issue of election fraud and how things are done is something that California has had for a long time, a problem. And Oregon has a method of mail-in ballots, which is very good, and California could use that. However, many of the Democrats have opposed this because they have put into place a method in California that allows them to cheat and get away with it, and they don't want to.
And what are you referring to?
What system is that?
Yeah, Jess, what are you referring to?
Okay, we talked about it before, Brad, when we were on another show, but this method of no vote, no ID, and then allowing for a voter to vote many times and not get caught is something that the Democrats have pervasively used as a method for cheating and voting.
And where, Jess, can you document that? I have no information to support your contention.
Yes, okay. If they will go to call the Sacramento County Register's office and talk to the people there, they will find that the elections people are forbidden to ask for ID, so you can't ask for an ID. A person could walk in, look at a list that is posted outside the polling place, away from the eyesight of the polling people, mm-hmm. and look up which people have not voted, because the list is mandated.
So I could go into your precinct, and if you haven't voted yet, I could say, I'm Jess, and since there's no ID, I could impersonate you and cast a ballot.
Right.
Okay, Brad?
There is no such list.
Yes, there is.
Outside the polling place telling you who has voted and who has not.
No, you weren't listening, Jess. Okay. What he said was there's no list that tells you who has voted and who has not. There is a list of the registered voters in the precinct, but if you pick the wrong name and go in there with a name of somebody who's already voted, you're going to be exposed.
That's not true. There's a list on the outside and there's a list on the inside. They look in the list and determine who has not voted.
No,
because
the list
has to be updated every hour.
No, the list on the outside is not updated. They only change it. They cross out your name when you go inside and tell them who you are. So, Jess, I don't want to spend a lot of time here because I got other topics I want to talk about. I thank you for the call today. Brad, I want to turn next to John Tanner. Is he still working at the Justice Department?
Yeah, it turns out he has not been fired. And actually, let me just give 10 seconds to respond. Other thought there. Aside from the fact that Jess was just making stuff up, there is no evidence of Democrats voting again and again. If there is, I welcome him to show it to me or anybody. It just doesn't exist. Secondly, the system that he describes seems like it would also work equally as well for Republicans. So I'm not sure why he thinks the Democrats are somehow able to use this scheme and not Republicans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anyway, yes, John Tanner at this hour is still working incredibly, heading the voting rights section at the Department of Justice Civil Rights Division. Despite the absolute beating that he took, and the folks have not seen some of the video from this hearing that was on Tuesday, check it out. We've got a lot of it over at bradblog.com. This one that Washington Post actually put together, Dana Milbank put together, was tremendous. This is one sorry fellow, and the fact that he is still employed in this particular job, overseeing frankly, the disenfranchisement of voters all across the country because of these ridiculous photo ID laws that he's been implementing that are found unconstitutional and against the advice of his own staffers at the DOJ, the career staffers there, is just remarkable. But he may not be there for long. There is going to be, my understanding is, continued pressure to see him moved out of that job as soon as possible.
Now, you live blogged it, and I have not really had time to catch up with it, Brad. What were a couple of the high points, and did any sparks fly?
Oh, man. Yeah, they did indeed. The two best, like I say, go down to Brad blog, scroll down a little bit. You'll see a video from Washington Post that sort of puts together some highlights. But we also have the complete testimony between him and Arthur Davis of Alabama, and him and Keith Ellison of Minnesota, and boy, did they rake him over the coals. Some of the highlights pointing out the Ellison had you know, challenged him on this notion where Tanner had said that that minorities don't become elderly the way white people do; they die first. And Ellison asked him if he'd ever met his 80-year-old father, who is indeed an elderly minority. Arthur Davis' questioning was fabulous because he said, well, where did you get your data for this? And the guy had to admit that he really had no data for this. Arthur Davis pointed out that, in fact, the rate of voters amongst the minority elderly in Alabama exceeds those of the elderly white folks in Alabama, and Tanner just had to admit that he did not have his data straight. He tried to say he hurt people through his comments, but he did not, and he apologized for them. But he apologized for the tone of the comments and the way people heard them, rather than the fact that he said them, that they were wrong, that the data he used was wrong. And, in fact, one of the analysts who had worked with him on some of the data he was using to make that decision on photo IDs in Georgia, which was eventually found unconstitutional, also testified to say that basically Tanner completely ignored the data, including last-minute data that came in from the state showing that some 600,000 voters in Georgia did not have photo ID and would be disenfranchised by this law that Tanner approved against the advice of largely the entire civil rights team there.
Mm-hmm. Read all about it and catch the vids at bradblog.com. We'll take a break and return with Brad Friedman in just a moment. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Our radio show for the whole family. Dysfunctional family. Stephanie Miller on AM 540, KRXA, 6 a.m. weekdays.
Come on in and you will see the Central Avenue Bakery. Smell the bread, try the scones. Everything so tasty you want to take it all home. Vegetarian is a good affair. We make our meals in a kosher kitchen. I'll make mine falafel with hummus too. A side of couscous and a baba ganoush, yeah. Open at 7 every day. Have a cup of coffee or your morning latte. Come on in and sit right down. It's the friendliest place in town. Central Avenue Bakery. In PG.
For an unforgettable omelet experience, visit the Central Avenue Bakery today. 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey, PG.
The healthcare system is broken. That doesn't mean you have to be. Capitola Physical Therapy helps you return to the level of function you need with skilled personal attention. Whether it's golf, tennis, walking, or simply getting out of bed and maintaining your balance. Capitola Physical Therapy understands, cares, and knows how to help. Call Capitola Physical Therapy at 475-1200. That's 475-1200.
Hi, this is Scott Dick, your host of the Tasty Planet Radio Show. Every Saturday from 1 to 4 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and travel across the U.S. and around the world. I interview authors, chefs, winemakers, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make our world so delicious. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 4 p.m. for tasty new shows or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Listen in and have a good appetite.
All right, let's take a look at traffic on this Friday, TGIF, and thank goodness it is Friday. All right, so we want to mention about a little problem. Where's our little problem? It's in Watsonville, Tarpley Road at Marr. A vehicle went off the roadway through event. CHP is on scene. If you're in the Gilroy area, the garlic capital of the world, as if I had to tell you that. Westbound 152 before San Felipe on the right shoulder. Three-vehicle crash. Tow trucks on the shoulder there. Santa Clara County, 152 eastbound before Fifield. Two vehicles partially blocking the left lane. And I would be remiss if I did not mention Gilroy again. Northbound 101 just after Monterey Street. A three-vehicle crash. Good news there. It's been cleared to the center divide.
And we continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, 8 minutes in front of the hour. Brad Friedman from bradblog.com is with us, and we're joined by Chris in Salinas. Hello, Chris. You're on the air.
Hello, Peter and Brad.
Howdy.
How you doing?
Not
hey,
too bad.
I just want to, since I was an instigator last week and ruffled Brad's feathers a little bit, I just want to preface what I want to say right now is that I appreciate everything that Brad has done and is doing. And so don't get me wrong on that, Brad. But what I wanted to point out,
others were not ruffled. I think it's a worthy debate.
Is that there is no safeguards put in place in order to make sure that those OptiScans are tabulating the vote correctly. Because once you run the ballot through, it goes into a pile, and now the tabulator or the OptiScan is now the official vote count, especially during a central tabulator like we have here in Monterey County.
So what you mean by that is that the scanner at the precinct is connected to a computer at the central office. And
no,
so
we don't have a scanner at the precinct. But even if we did,
I see.
There's nothing that's keeping the vote honest. There's nothing telling us that it's counting correctly, you know? So I mean, I don't advocate for OptiScan whatsoever.
All right.
I want hand count on paper ballots, but just real quick, but if we're going to use an OptiScan system, we need something in place, such as a universal ballot sample, ballots pulled out, placed to the side, and counted to make sure those OptiScans are counting correctly.
All right, Brad?
That's right. You need to have samples. You need to have audits when you're dealing with the optical scan ballots. Frankly, you need open source software. You need all sorts of things. But I'll point you, Chris, and as I started to say, you didn't ruffle my feathers. It's a discussion that needs to be had. Sounds like I had ruffled yours, so I'm glad to unruffle them if I can. The fact of the matter is that a year ago in Monterey, you guys were holding these elections on DRE systems where there was absolutely no paper ballot whatsoever. Now, you said once they're counted, they become the official vote. Well, that may be true, but they do not become, but that electronic count does not become the official ballot. The ballot is still the ballot that will be there then, now, and forever for anyone to go back, count, recount, and everything else. So there is a far cry difference from a DRE to an OptiScan system. Finally, yeah, I agree. We need all kinds of things in place, all kinds of safeguards, audits if you are going to use optical scan systems. But look, I don't disagree with you. Hand-counted paper ballots are probably the most secure and probably the most accurate. I think it would be nice if we had some data under our belt to use to point that out to folks who are so frightened of it as they all are right now.
But as you say, and I believe 100% that you need to get it right on election night.
Yep.
So if we're relying on optical scan without a sample during the election to keep the vote count honest, then we're in the same situation where we're going to have to try to go and change things after the fact. And that's where I'm really concerned with anybody advocating for OptiScan. It is just another computerized system that can be manipulated and it can make mistakes, and we're going to have to go back and try to correct the problem, and by that time it's too late.
You bet, but I was accused of advocating for optical scan. I am not.
Well, you do in a sense, because every time you say I want a paper ballot, whether that be hand counted or by OptiScan.
That's right.
I mean, that's advocating for OptiScan.
Well, it's also advocating for hand counted paper ballots by that measure. But that said, we need to move in that direction. We need to get the paper ballots. And if you think Monterey County will do 100% hand-counted paper ballots tomorrow and everyone will be happy about it, it sounds good to me. On the other hand, I have a feeling they won't. And B, if they were made to do so, you get into a hostile hand-count situation where it can be easily jammed by bad guys in such a way that they can discredit hand-counting to the point that it's never done anywhere ever again in the country. Take a look back at Florida 2000 and what they succeeded in doing to paper ballots when they wanted to scam and jam that system.
Yeah.
So we've been climbing out of that phony hole ever since, and I don't want to see that done with hand counting. I think a smart way to move forward, if you can pull it off, is to work with your registrars, get some test programs in place where you're doing 2, 3, 10 hand-counted precincts to collect some data on this so that we can make the case, if in fact it's true, that hand-counting is the most secure and accurate. I don't know that that's the case right now, because I don't know how many decades it's been since a California ballot has actually been counted by hand at the precinct, if ever.
Gentlemen, I'm going to have to stop it here. We're almost out of time. Chris, thank you for calling in. I really appreciate it.
Yes, thank you for everything you're doing.
I appreciate your activism on the issues. And, Brad, thanks for being open to an honest exchange of views here today. I want to direct people to bradblog.com for the news about Sheldon Whitehouse and Ben Nelson's bill, which is a mirror of the Holt bill, but it includes a clause to ban electronic voting systems, DREs, starting in 2012. That's a step in the right direction. Also go to Brad Blog to read his exclusive about Sibel Edmonds, who wants to take off the gag and tell us everything she knows. Brad, thanks for a great week. Gosh, take some time off, will you?
Yeah, I'm going to try. Talk to you next week.
All right. Bradblog.com. Thanks for listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm much obliged. We're going to do this again very soon. You know the schedule. Meet me here. We'll talk. If you own a classic car, or you've been looking for a special classic, Newport Classic Motors offers complete services for all classic, exotic, and custom vehicles. Dennis Jones and the expert team at Newport Classic Motors, your one-stop classic car headquarters. They offer guaranteed services, from a taillight lens to a frame-up restoration, sandblasting, chroming, even airbrushing, pinstriping, and custom painting for cars, trucks, motorcycles, boats, and even golf carts. Get 20% off any custom paint job booked in October. Newport Classic Motors, located in Southern California near Disneyland. They can arrange quick, reasonable transport from anywhere in the U.S. They'll also buy or sell your classic vehicle fast. Call Dennis today at 714-333-6822. That's 714-333-6822. Newport Classic Motors.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. Jay Leno without a monologue. David Letterman with no top 10 list. The impact of a strike set for Monday by TV and film writers would be felt first on the late-night talk shows. They'd likely be forced into reruns. CBS News correspondent Steve Futterman has more.
If a strike does take place, it could get very nasty. Hollywood writers hope members of other unions, especially the Teamsters Union, refuse to cross picket lines. If the Teamsters stay away, productions in Hollywood could grind to a halt. John Bowman is a Writers Guild member.
Unfortunately, we have to inflict as much damage as we can as quickly as possible in order to get this thing over.
Producers have gathered a backlog of scripts and hope to continue producing films and most TV programs. Steve Futterman, CBS News, Los Angeles.
Producers say they are prepared to talk this weekend. First, Merrill Lynch. Now, reports CBS News correspondent Anthony Mason, another big financial firm is facing turmoil.
Citigroup has reportedly scheduled an emergency board meeting for this weekend. Now, the company has already revealed some $6 billion in mortgage-related losses. There are concerns out there that there's substantially more. And there are also reports that the CEO, Chuck Prince, is ready to offer his resignation.
That news pushed Citigroup stock higher in after-hours trading. In the regular session, stocks were down most of the day, but the Dow rose 27 points at the close to finish the week at 13,595. Crude oil settled just below $96 a barrel, and analyst John Kilduff says high energy prices are starting to hurt.
Consumers are in the process of seeing significant price spikes at the pump and at the heating oil tank. So that will start to wear down consumers, but looks like the tipping point is well north of 100, probably 125 is going to be the beginning of the breaking point.
At least two Democrats on the Senate Judiciary Committee say they support Attorney General nominee Michael Mukasey. They, along with the Republicans, would provide enough votes to endorse Mukasey and send the nomination to the full Senate. Key evidence against former astronaut Lisa Nowak has been thrown out by a Florida judge who says police went too far with their questioning. CBS News chief legal analyst Andrew Cohen.
The judge went through a litany of reasons why he believes that Nowak's statement was not voluntarily obtained by the police. He noted several errors and omissions in the audio tape of her so-called confession, and he ruled that there had been a level of coercion exerted upon her that violates the law.
Also disallowed the evidence seized in a search of Nowak's car after she'd driven from